Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he is funny.
Is he all there? But mentally?
I think so. It's just not that. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out.
You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. Dogs are in the house. At least some of them are. Where is everybody, Doc?
Did you give them a day off? It's a sunny day?
I don't know where they are. Anyway, they'll be here any moment, I hope, because there's food here. So, you know, where there's
food. You know
what
they're doing, don't you?
What are they doing?
Then that's when they smoke it.
Oh, yeah?
You know what today is, right?
What's today?
April 20th?
I don't know.
420?
I'm sorry.
Then that's when they smoke it.
What is that, like annual marijuana day or something?
It is.
Is it really? This is the day that everybody asks for marijuana to be legalized?
Yep.
Okay.
It's actually also, on an unrelated note, not as happy. It's the 11th anniversary of Columbine.
Well, yeah. I don't know if we want to be talking about that on this show, but you're right, it is. It is.
Just something to acknowledge.
For either reason, though, I have no idea why they're not here. I don't see any of those two reasons being something that would keep them from being here. I don't understand. But anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Emails, webradio@patriots.com. Phone numbers, 508-543-7482. This is a huge week. It huge, obviously, because the draft is Thursday, but also, today is the day that the NFL will be releasing its schedule. It wasn't always supposed to be today, but because of a few things that have happened over the last month, that announcement got delayed. Where the hell has everybody been?
Working, Fred.
Working, Fred?
I apologize 1,000 times, Freddie.
At least Paul has the good sense to apologize. Andy,
Cripple was holding us back.
Eric has to be, you know, pompous about it. We're working.
Well, just Eric has to be pompous, period,
right.
End of sentence.
To clarify that, right. Exactly how.
Right, exactly. All right.
Uh-oh, you're ready. You got your
I got my
All
Lads.
The different shades of colors, too.
Yeah. I got my R-Lads book. I am
color
ready.
By numbers.
As I was saying, this is the draft week for the NFL.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Oh. It's also
schedule day, baby.
It's also the schedule that'll be announced on Patriots.com at 7 o'clock.
Maybe the most overrated day in all of
sports. I do have one tidbit.
I'd just like to know when we're going where.
I do have one tidbit on the
schedule. Actually, that's on the truck leaves Fenway, Andy.
During the regular season, there will be 8 home games for the Patriots this year.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Means for every home game, you have a road game, as somebody once told us.
8.
So. No, but
I actually thought you had a scheduled tidbit.
Are
we going to find out before 7 o'clock?
We will play a game on Sunday.
And we know that
I'm still holding out hope that we're not.
And the last game of the season will be a divisional game. We know that.
That's foolish.
I mean, the whole reasoning behind making all these games, division games at the end of the year is foolish. As we discussed in the last show, if you're leading your division by 6-7 games and their other teams have no chance, you're going to tank those last two games. Doesn't matter if you're playing a division opponent or somebody else.
Right.
So it's foolish to have to wait till now to release the schedule to make all of these concessions to all of the division teams. It's a wasted effort.
But, you know,
because of Roger
Badell.
You're right, but I think that it doesn't hurt.
Good and good.
It doesn't hurt, I think, to make sure that the schedule has division games at the end. I don't think it hurts.
It doesn't hurt, but it's no great groundbreaking
it's not any better.
Change.
It doesn't
hurt. Going to fix the Colts resting people.
No. It doesn't help,
when you're
though.
13-2 and have wrapped up the number one seed,
yeah, the Colts are going to
rest
people.
You've also wrapped up your division, by the way. You know how they do in the standings? You got the X, the Y, and the this. They've already checked off all the little things in the standings. They're the best.
But one of the reasons that teams do wrap up the division early is because they've already played those division games. So there's a percentage chance that you don't wrap it up that early.
See, but I'm,
because those
but
division
I'm explaining
games come
to
at the end.
That it's not. It doesn't. There's no percentage chance that helps that. Because if you have a two-game lead, whether you've played that team or not yet, it's still the same. It's the same percentages. You played a certain amount of games, and you have a lead.
But I understand, Paul. But one of the reasons
you're not increasing the chances that those games are going to matter. You're not.
You are.
You're not.
Because one of the ways that you get a lead is by beating teams in your division. If you don't get the
and play, out of your division,
right?
You have to play 16 games.
When was the last time a number one seed didn't win its division?
I know, but listen to me. If you
has
have
that ever happened,
listen to me. If you have a two-game lead with two games to go, and you still haven't played the teams in your division or one of the teams that you have a two-game lead on, there's a better chance for them to catch up than if you've already played them.
Right, but the only
no,
teams
not.
That rest players
are
the top
wrong.
Couple
there's
teams.
Not. Because if you have a two-game lead with one game left, it's over.
No, Paul.
Whether you've played that team or
not.
That's
not what I just said. I said if you have a two-game lead with two games left and you still haven't played the team that you have the lead on,
why is that a better chance?
Because they have a chance to make a one
game. Fred, if you had a two game lead with two games left and you were done with your division, you wouldn't tank the game. You haven't clinched anything yet. This is what you're not listening to.
But Paul, if I'm trailing you, I have a chance to beat you rather than beat another team and you win and I don't gain any.
Right, and if I haven't played you yet, I have a chance to win my game and you to lose your game.
Right, but
therefore I'm not going to tank.
But Paul, I can't control that.
But Fred, no one's arguing this isn't good.
No one's arguing control.
It's good for the division rivalries. You'll have late games.
All I'm arguing,
but it's irrelevant to the number one seed resting their team.
And that's all I'm arguing.
Obviously,
it's not
but
eliminating
that's
the
posed.
Problem.
Listen to me. Obviously, if mathematically you've clinched it, you're going to rest.
And I'm just telling you, mathematically,
but Fred,
playing a division opponent in the last week doesn't increase your chances that the game will matter. It doesn't.
Wow. God.
That's all I'm arguing. I'm not arguing it's not harder to catch up if you don't have a game left. Of course it is. You're right. If you have a game left against a division opponent, it's easier to catch up. You can win by yourself. You don't need someone else to win. I'm just arguing the problem that Goodell is trying to fix is making these games meaningful. This does nothing to fix that problem.
There is a chance that more games will be meaningful at the end of the game if division games come at the end. That's all they're doing.
Explain to me that.
Because,
explain to me why it increases the chances.
Because
I'm willing to listen.
Because you haven't played those teams yet, so there's more of a chance that I can, you know, I won't have been able to build up that lead. It doesn't eliminate it. Of course it doesn't. But, you know, it's the same thing in baseball.
Why is there more of a chance?
Look, if I have a 6-game lead.
If you're in a good division and you're playing a bunch of teams who are in bad divisions who are bad teams, why wouldn't you have built up a lead?
Right, because you could, but you still, let's say you have a 2-game lead. You haven't played the Jets yet, okay? And you're playing them in week 6, you know, 15. Now the Jets can gain a game in one Sunday. They don't have to worry about us losing to another team. They can control that.
Absolutely, you're right. It's better for the division race. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But the problem the league is trying to fix is to eliminate what Indianapolis did last year in dumping their last two games. This does nothing to eliminate that problem. If Indianapolis has a 2-game lead over Tennessee heading into week 15, whether they're playing Tennessee or not, they're not dumping that game.
Absolutely. You're right.
And it also doesn't...
It does not eliminate, once there's a mathematical decision of them resting players. They're going to rest players.
It right? also doesn't eliminate Bill Belichick from manipulating a system. In your little theory, if they come down to the season finale for the Jets and the Patriots, and one is going to be the wild card and one's going to win the division, if he sees a certain advantage, he'll play it the way he would have all along.
Sure.
Right?
But there's more chances, if division games come at the end, there's more chances that those games will be meaningful. It may not be a big percentage increase.
To the division.
To just, you know, playoff, you know,
implications.
Okay.
Implications.
But it was posed as this could solve those throwaway late season games.
It doesn't.
That's stupid.
It doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
And that's the only point I'm trying to make. It doesn't do any, not even a small percentage, it doesn't increase. I'll give you another example. Last year, Dallas and Philadelphia played in the last game of the season. And it mattered not whether or not either team would make the playoffs, but where they would be seated. Philadelphia fell behind quickly and then dumped the game, even though they had something tangibly to play for.
They were playing for the number two seed, for the love of God.
They dumped the game. It's not, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it. It's fine. But they think they're fixing something. They're not.
No, I don't.
And I don't think that, listen, it's one of those things I empathize with the league because I think it is a little bit of a problem. I just think there's nothing that can be done about it. There are going to be teams that
it's
decide
human
they
right.
don't want to risk playing their players full out in meaningless games or games that aren't overly important.
The Colts are one of those teams.
And the Colts have been one of those teams. Nothing. You think Bill Polian's going to do it any differently this year?
I heard them describe this move, they didn't say that this was going to fix anything. They said that by doing this, there is a chance that more games will mean something at the end of the season. That's all they said. I don't think they ever said that this is going to fix that.
They have said that, and I would disagree with that
really?
Statement. I don't think this increases the chances of more meaningful games in the last week of the year. That's all. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. They think it's going to help. They think it's going to increase the chances. Do it. I don't know why it took months to make a schedule because they had to have division games in the last
week
of the season.
Well, I think one of the problems is like a place like Gillette, there's other things going on, and you know teams they had to coordinate all that. And then I think the Roethlisberger thing, I think believe it or not, that changed. You know.
What do the other things have to do with going on at Gillette Stadium have to do with anything?
Because if now you have to match up the Jets and the Patriots, you have to make sure that, you know, one or the other stadium is free that weekend where maybe, you know, the Jets had planned, you know, something else. I don't know. They had to change everything.
How's that different than scheduling a game against any other team?
But I think they had a schedule in mind, and then they made the decision
that's my point.
To change the
that's
division.
Our point. I'm glad you said it that way.
This isn't worth the trouble it's been put through.
I think they already had the schedule in place.
Yes.
And like suddenly it's become the norm in the NFL with Roger
Badell.
They seemingly are making it up as they go.
Derek Scalabino.
All of a sudden they're deciding, you know what? I don't like A. I'm going to change A and make it B. It's a troubling trend to me. The NFC Championship game, to me, was one of the more exciting games that I watched all year. And for some reason it offended football people.
Right.
And we had to change overtime.
Except the Vikings.
They weren't offended.
They voted against the proposal. That's
my point. It didn't offend the people that should have been offended.
That was perhaps the most amazing.
It's like the Seminole guy with the spear. Florida State can't be Seminoles anymore. Well, the guy with the spear is okay with it.
I would say the same thing about overtime.
It's a very complex proposal, and I really didn't understand it.
Florida State had an agreement with the Seminole guy. It was an example. Can we not get into the details?
I didn't think I was a dropout, but maybe I am.
I would say the same thing about the overtime. I don't have really a huge problem with the overtime. I just don't think it was broken.
Right.
And I would say the same thing
about
the schedule.
Well, it is something that people have been talking about changing for a long time. Then all of a sudden they felt they had to do it right now.
The three of us were late, and we came with a good, solid argument for you. So we were late for the show, but we brought some passion, Freddie.
Now, really,
using your little logic,
what was it that kept you from being here on time?
They were posting stuff to the blog.
Aside from the fact that the show never starts on time anymore? And always ends early?
That doesn't matter. You're supposed to be here on time. You don't worry about what other people do. You just worry about you. Don't let anyone else be an excuse.
I was worried about
you.
The fans. I wanted to make
Whether
sure they had
here
their SPFW up on the web.
Or your painting career or political career. One of the
up.
Bad
Comedy
habits.
Career,
one of your
TV
bad
career,
habits. Yeah.
Radio career.
What else have you failed at?
Is shifting blame. And you shouldn't do that. It's a bad habit.
It's a bad habit. you deflect. Just take it on like a man.
Can you put the clock back up?
Why?
Because I want to hurry up.
You want to know when
here.
It's time to leave. Right. Okay. Web radio at patriots.com.
Boy, that took an ugly turn, didn't it?
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. All right, so 7 o'clock, schedule comes up. Our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, is going to make sure that that happens.
We're going to get advance notice.
We might. Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas. We got to make sure, though, that we don't leak.
We're not going to leak anything.
It'll be interesting to see which teams do. You know, in the past, certain teams have leaked their schedules. I think the Broncos did it 1 year.
Leaked out of your mouth.
I think the Eagles did it 1 year. So we'll see if all the teams.
Why don't we be the team this year?
Certain national reporters pretended that
let's
certain
post
teams
the whole damn thing.
Leaked their schedule.
Right.
Go double barrels at the league.
All right. So then we're also getting ready for the draft. This will be our last show before Thursday night.
And, still can't believe you're not going to do a noon to two on Thursday.
We're going to do noon to two and then get back on at 9 o'clock. Come on.
You guys have asked to do three hours more radio.
We have other things to do.
Unlike you, Doc, and your staff of 50.
Actually, I have another radio show to produce and set up you guys. But anyway, I'm going to worry about my job, not like you, Eric.
There you go. Good, Doc. Good. Wow. Doc has a newfound confidence about himself. He must have hired his 26th employee.
Just fired someone.
Oh, did you really?
Aww.
No.
All right.
Tomash, he was baggage all along. Oh, I didn't see you back there behind that wall.
All right. So, other news, Adalis Thomas. Still not certain he's going to be a Patriot over the weekend.
Increasing the list of teams he thinks he could go to.
Had an interview over waffles with Shalise Manzi-Young of the Boston Globe. I almost said Projo, but I had to correct myself. She's with the Globe now. And she's really his mouthpiece. When he has something to say, he goes to Shalise.
Yep.
And basically saying that he doesn't know what's going on. You know, whatever happens, happens. He is curious about the fact that they treated his wrist problem incorrectly. They sent him to a massage therapist instead of – I don't know. To me, it sounded like
some
nonsense.
Some guys would have liked that.
It sounded like nonsense what he was saying.
Story would have had a happy ending.
You know, if he's if he doesn't know what's going on, I suggest he get up here and find out.
Well, but
– you know, there's nothing stopping
him. Has he been invited to come up?
I don't think he was invited.
You don't need
to
be invited. This is – you know.
Yeah.
He never mentioned that the Patriots told me I can't come. He would have if they did.
You can't come.
Right. You know, if it's that important to you, get your ass up here. So I'm not buying it. I think he's showing his true colors here, and we're seeing through the.
He's just trying to get out.
Yeah.
Well, what are you not buying? What was he selling?
The fact that the Patriots have treated him poorly and, you know, that whole thing. He doesn't know what's going on.
Is there going to be a draft weekend blockbuster involving him?
Where was the thing about the offseason program that he wasn't informed of? You know, everybody else was informed and he wasn't. Where was that from?
I don't know.
That was from an earlier one, right?
But it wasn't from him.
I don't know.
It was from somebody else. I forget.
Every once in a while he feels like it's been quiet for too long. I think he's trying to get out.
Well, I think the Patriots.
Yeah, I think he's getting a little restless.
Like the injury thing, I think he's just like, what else can I say that maybe.
I think the Patriots have, you know. Through their back channels have made it very clear that he's on the block. And I don't think anyone's that interested because if they were, he'd be gone.
Nor should they be at $4.9 million.
Yeah, so they're kind of stuck.
He just wants to get released.
Yeah, well, sure. Then he could do whatever he wants.
Right.
Control his own fate.
I mean, you can make an argument that the best thing for him is not getting released. It's getting traded so he can get his money. He's going to lose money if he gets released.
Oh, yeah.
Because no one's giving him $10 million over the next 2 years. I don't think.
I don't either.
He probably won't get $1 million this year.
He probably won't. Or maybe that's exactly what he will get.
Veteran minimum?
Yeah.
Well, $1 million would be a little bit above the veteran minimum.
But I got to tell you, I think his pay would come in, if he goes to the Jets or the Dolphins or one of those teams he listed, I think his pay would come in. Hits on number 12 and fingers at number BB. Like, I think it's clearly personal. I can envision the whole Roger Clemens and Duquette thing.
In 010.
And I could see him making a sack and then turn around and facing the Patriots sideline. I really could. I think it's very personal with him. Which, for all I know, it should be. I don't really know all the details of he said, she said, and we never will. But we'll know that he said.
Of course, you'd have to find the quarterback, which he hasn't done since like week one of last year.
Right. We know that he stopped asking him to. Because they, like me, decided he was a run-stuffing outside linebacker. Do you think he will not get to the quarterback with a new team?
Of course he will.
No, I don't think it's obvious.
Why, of course?
I'm asking, is he physically capable of being a good player on a decent defense? Or was he totally a bit player who took advantage of the scraps from Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and Terrell Suggs and everybody else?
He's had good games with the Patriots.
Good games,
yes. He had a good game 2 weeks before.
No. But he's had good games with the Patriots. What, for whatever reason, the matchup in that game or you know, whatever the reason was, he's shown that he can play at an NFL level. Not to his contract, but...
So what do you expect from him elsewhere, depending on where he ends up, obviously? But, I mean, is he a guy we won't hear from? Is he 60 tackles and 8 sacks? Is he 5 sacks? What?
I think he could start, but I don't think he would be a star.
Which is kind of like his career here.
Exactly, yeah.
He is who he is.
But, you know, the problem is here is, you know, there's a lot of burned bridges.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, burn bridges and expectation and tie to that. And so, you know, bad blood. And I don't know if it's if it can be mended at this point.
Oh, I don't think it can. And I'm not sure either side wants any mending to go on.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't think the Patriots want him back. I don't think Bill wants him back. Just looking to get something for him before he cuts him loose, and he's probably also
trying to twist the knife.
Yeah, he's also trying to make it
maybe snap off the ship
as difficult as possible.
Is there a point of no return though?
I think it's the point he shows up personally and knocks on the door, and you know, either got to let him in or cut him.
Yeah, but we've seen worse situations between player and management.
Oh God, yeah.
that have worked itself out. So I don't ever think there's a point of no return.
Well, I don't know about work themselves out. I thought you were going like Terry Glenn. That was clearly worse.
Yeah.
But it also ended in special arbitration. And
yeah, that didn't work in
itself. Right,
fun.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think this is very similar to that, only I don't think Adalys Thomas is a psychopath.
Right.
And clearly Terry Glenn was.
Yes.
Or a sociopath anyway.
So.
I don't know the difference, but yeah.
I don't know. I just know the two different words.
So I never say never when it comes to, you know, bygones be, you know, letting bygones be bygones. But I think in this case, for both parties, it'd be best to go their separate ways.
I'd be stunned if he lines up on September 1.
He'll never play for the Patriots again.
Yeah.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com, a lot of emails.
What if Bill retires in July and somebody else takes over?
Never play for Bill Belichick again.
Shouldn't say never.
Uh-huh. And never play for Bill Belichick again.
A lot of people sending emails about our first argument about the division. Chris with a TIN, quote from Goodell, we'll see what the impact is as we go through the next season, but we think that's a positive development in keeping the integrity of the game in those late season games, says Goodell, and that's from an article on ESPN.
That's the other. We'll see what the impact is. So you don't really know what it's going to do, but it was so important you had to force it through after the schedule was already done. That's the point. You couldn't have waited till next year?
Yeah. And here's you know, when there was time to figure it out ahead of time.
I think there's going to be problems here, too, by the way, because I think there's a chance that you have some late-season game where the team wins it to tie it but then loses the division, and there's going to be, well, maybe we should change the tiebreakers because it's not fair that the team that won late, blah, 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 you know what I mean? Like, the losing team gets in somehow. People always complain, and they always react to the most immediate,
right?
And they shouldn't.
I think the problem, you know, that's exactly what my whole point is. He seems to just kind of fly by the, you know, the seat of his pants the way these things come up.
Right.
And I think this problem, this late season game problem, is, to me, it's all, like, circumstantial. Mm-hmm. It can happen. It can be magnified 1 year like it was this year with the way the Jets got in the playoffs. Next year, whether they change the schedule or not, there's a very real possibility that all of the division races are tight, all of the wild card races are tight, and the teams that play each other in the last week of the season happen to be involved, and the teams that are playing each other that are out are playing, you know, so, you know, the 4-12 against one team and 5-11 against the other,
right?
They play each other, and the teams that are in the race, that could very easily happen whether you change anything or not. I could see that happening this year. All of a sudden, well, geez, we had a slew of meaningful Week 17 games. The schedule change was right. I say no. It's circumstantial.
Well, the other thing they could be thinking about it but not talking about is, you know, the whole thing about fan attendance late in seasons. And, you know, again, it might be just percentage points, but there's a better chance that fans are going to turn out for a Patriots-Dolphin or a Patriots-Jets game than a Patriots-Panthers game. So if you can make sure that it's always one of your division rivals, there's a better chance when the weather turns, you might still get people turning out. That could be a factor as well.
But that's, again, maybe.
Maybe.
Because if you're a team that's beaten the Bills 17 straight times, I don't know you're showing up. And if the Panthers have the most exciting young ex in football that you only get to see once every 8 years, you might be showing up because you know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's a lot of factors at play there that you can't say definitively about any one of them.
No, you can't.
That's why forcing something like this in, which clearly delayed the schedule, I'm not sure there was a lot of value there.
But at the end of the day, how are we hurt by the schedule being delayed? We don't.
Well,
really care.
I don't really care because it's stupid.
Yeah.
No, but it's another example of just doing things for the sake of doing them. When
right.
There's no.
No, this has nothing
and
to do.
For God's
with
sake, if we're going to do that, put the goalpost back on the goal line.
Oh, delaying the schedule, that's got nothing to do
they're
with it.
They're called the goalposts, and yet they're the out-of-bounds posts right now. Makes no sense to me.
Tim in Baltimore says, just want to remind you that setting up division games often determine tiebreakers. That will make it more difficult to determine seedings until the last week.
Right.
Also, I could be wrong, but this seems to be the hardest home schedule the Pats have faced this decade. If you're not a real Pats fan, please sell your tickets to somebody that is like me.
Is that an indication of the other teams being better or this team being not as good?
I don't see thoughts
with the pompous one.
I just don't see how the whole tiebreaker thing is more relevant if you play that sixth division game in week 17 as opposed to week 13. I'm not buying that.
Aaron in Sterling, Virginia, 2 minutes in and the boys are feisty. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the real game changer that comes from having divisional opponents at the end of the season does not affect the team that has locked up the top spot. It's for the teams that are on the bubble fighting to get in.
Right.
If the Pats are 14-1 and have their spot locked up, they had better still put a team on the field to keep the 10-5 Jets from making the playoffs. I think this has more about being a spoiler to a division rival than it does knocking down a top team. Some teams don't care about being spoilers, but by making the last week a division rival game, it should pump up the intensity. Once again, Fred, you were correct. Don't worry about explaining it to the other PFW.
Okay, I'm going to explain why you're wrong, because exactly that situation happened, I believe, 2 years ago and 3 years ago. Indy and Tennessee played at Indy and at Tennessee in week 17 in games that the Colts didn't need. They dumped those games against their quote-unquote division rival and allowed, in one case, Tennessee to make the playoffs and Cleveland not. Lee Bodden, still bitter about that, by the way, talks about it all the time. Lee Bodden was a member of the Cleveland Browns that year, and at 10-6, Romeo and the Browns went home because the Colts dumped their game against their division opponent. And I'll tell you right now, if the 14-1 Patriots are playing Buffalo, they'll do what Bill Belichick wants them to do, not because it's a division opponent. The Jets might be different. You can make an argument that he would never dump a game against the Jets under any circumstance, and maybe I would buy that.
You think the Patriots are going to be 14-1?
No.
Hypothetical example.
But I was just going with the emailer. 14-1, 10-5.
If I'm sleeping with Jessica Simpson and someone knocks on the door, wait a minute, you think I could sleep with Jessica?
So I don't think it increases the likelihood that those games will be taken any more seriously.
Okay. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Emails coming in, obviously a lot about the draft. People have their picks that they'd like to see the Patriots take at 22.
Patriots Hall of Fame on Comcast Sportsnet, Fred.
Wow.
Mike Giardi. Friend of the show.
Yes.
Sort of. Not this show, but TV show.
He's our part-time host.
Patriots have 4 picks in the top 53.
Oh,
a lot of speculation
about
what
that went downhill
do.
In a hurry. Felger and Tom Curran.
Well, that would be entertaining, actually.
No. Michael Felger stopped being entertaining 3 years ago.
Yeah,
because he's still arguing the same things.
He hasn't been entertaining since he stopped arguing with you, Fred.
Good point.
I think you brought out the best in
those him. Those are some good shows.
And those were outstanding. I think you brought out the best.
You personally hated each other.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I don't. The reason
not in general, but when you were actually arguing, there was hate in both voices. There was. You would have fought.
As soon as we
had there not been a desk in between, you would have fought.
As soon as we got a commercial, we'd start laughing.
Right. And if they're not going to be a commercial, you would have hit him.
Stop it.
Oh, you two got very angry.
The thing I like
very
about,
good. When he started calling you like a mouthpiece for the organization
and
all
that.
Yeah,
well, that's fine. You know, The thing I like about Felger is he is a contrarian, and he will often take the contrarian point of view, but he doesn't take himself that seriously.
He's a dull knife jabbing at my forehead nonstop.
I will agree with that. He doesn't take himself too seriously, but I don't like the whole contrarian thing. If you honestly believe it, then that's fine, but I find it hard to believe that he honestly believes everything that 90% of everybody else doesn't believe, because that's the way he is on every single issue. Whatever the issue is, you can bet that he's in the minority.
Well, except Tim Tebow. He's in love with him. The local
but everybody else doesn't.
But I don't know about the fans and the local Patriots Nation. I think they like him.
I don't know. I think most people
have eyes.
Don't think he's going to be that good. I think most people have bought into the what's he going to be when he gets here. I think most people are not in Felger's camp.
I kind of agree with Fred. I think most people aren't in Felger's camp, and I think that's another example of his being a contrarian, especially to the level that he's taken.
He's just so annoying.
I've turned on Tebow, though. I think he's gonna find a place as a quarterback and be successful in the NFL.
He's going to find a place as a quarterback.
I thought you were going to say here.
That's where I put the period.
Oh, not no.
Oh, no?
No. Oh, no. We have Tom Brady, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's...
For how long?
For only one more year, you're running him out of town.
If you think he's going to be a good quarterback, then you should be willing to take him.
I'm assuming that we have Tom Brady for at least four more years.
Well, you should be willing to take Tim Tebow, then,
really?
If you think he's going to be a good player. What's the matter with getting your backup in line?
Not 4 years from now. I want my quarterback to be young when he's my starter. I want to maximize the number of
years.
Just
saying you know doesn't make me know, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
I want to maximize the number of years I have with that guy I've invested in.
Okay.
Well, so.
I think they're hard enough to find that if you think they exist, you take them.
That's what I'm saying. If you're convinced that he's going to be a quality NFL quarterback, you should be in favor of taking him.
There's like 15 good quarterbacks in the NFL, so they're that rare that only half the league can really find him on any given year. If you can find one, you take him.
There'll be others. He won't be the last.
Not always others.
He won't be the last guy that can play quarterback in the NFL. So.
That's true, Fred. He will not be the last guy.
Right. So I don't think I have to take my future quarterback for Tom Brady this year.
Okay. And Andre Tippett wasn't the last guy who could get double-digit sacks and be a dominating edge rusher.
It's
been 25 years. We haven't had one since.
And the way you said that, I thought you thought a little bit more of Tebow than just he's.
Oh, no. I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
The way you said it, like I've turned on Tebow. I think he's going to be a pretty good. I think he's going to have pretty good success.
Well, that's because before
so
I didn't
thought
think
you thought
be a
more
quarterback.
Okay, so run down the list of your thoughts on prospects. Are you Dwyer? Are you still up or down?
Well, I'm.
Are you high like him?
Is he high?
Wasn't he one of the two that failed the drug test?
He had ADD. Yeah, it was ADD medicine that's come out.
ADD medicine?
Yes.
You buy any of those, don't you?
That's
well, if it was Ritalin, it was Ritalin. What was it?
I don't know what it was, but that. He recently made
I always
statement.
Have Tide in my urine samples.
He's been diagnosed with ADD since he was 5 years old.
Wait a minute. Did you ever notice how he knows how to beat drug tests?
No.
Yes.
Tide. Oh. Is that something that just the average Joe would know?
Nope.
You sprinkle a little Tide on your finger and you...
I don't know if you know, Paul. I'm not the average Joe.
You sprinkle it in with your urine as you're peeing. It doesn't hurt.
It just sounds like it would. You don't sprinkle it in. It's under your fingernails so that it dissolves from under your fingernail.
Yes. Yes, Eric.
Yes, eh?
No, I thought it was Dwyer.
I don't know. Maybe I'm naive. I didn't know that every average Joe knew that's how you beat a drug test.
Andy knows how to beat the test.
You should have an infomercial.
Andy spent
I know how to beat the drug test.
I don't.
Workouts, standing around at the juice bar with their Zubas on and their black high tops with the Velcro straps. You know, they were talking about how to beat the system.
You get a little tired, you set it, and forget it. And you don't have to worry about beating those drug tests.
Listen to him.
I know how to beat these big companies. I've beaten them before.
Right.
Andy Hart's drug test beating.
That's right.
And my guy, Rolando McClain, had Crohn's, doesn't have Crohn's, has Crohn's. It just goes back and forth.
Have you used the Whizzer?
It's the Whizzinator.
The Whizzinator?
No, I haven't.
No?
The Whizzer is how we beat the drug test.
Right.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com.
Where are you on Toby Gerhardt?
543-7482.
Up or down?
Down.
Down.
Yeah.
From where I started.
Yeah, because you started right. with like.
But is your. Are you down to where most of us have him down?
Bottom of the second round.
And what would he be if you took him?
He'd be a running back.
I know that. Thank you, Teddy Bruschi.
What do you mean? What would he be?
Are you envisioning
fullback
or tailback?
As your
lead back?
He wouldn't.
You got to stop with those Teddy
Bruschi. He would be a running back. He would not be a fullback.
Wasn't a shot.
He would not be a fullback.
But a running back every down, he's your lead back.
No, maybe in a committee. It depends on the I think a team that has maybe an established back that wants to take a chance.
Why do you need him in the bottom of the second round if he's only going to be a committee guy?
You need more than one running back. Everybody knows.
But why do you need him at the second round?
Everybody except idiot Eric knows.
Because he might have a shot to compete.
You don't even know where the tight end lines up.
You know, I think, who knows with this guy? I won't be surprised if he becomes a starting running back in this league.
Who was the other guy that supposedly failed the drug test? Was another one of my guys.
I don't know.
McCoy, right? Anthony McCoy, the tight end from USC.
Right? I don't know.
Those were two of the big names that another one. Sorry. Stream of consciousness here. I'm okay with Jay Glazier when it was unofficial. Guys used to just come work out with him. But now his company and the Atlanta Falcons have signed on. The Falcons are going to make MMA training part of their offseason workouts.
That's a Deion Sanders.
That is a Deion Sanders conflict of interest.
He should not be reporting on the NFL anymore.
Right, exactly. Right, no. That's my point. Because we all have our unofficial biases, but when your biases become financial and official and on paper and contractual, that ain't right.
You're right.
And it's not like they're hiding it. It's out in the open.
Right.
I think he's kind of his reporting on the NFL has gone way down lately anyway.
Well, it's weird. It's like he doesn't try, but every once in a while he breaks a big story.
Right, right.
It's like somebody spoon-feeds it to him or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, now it'll be all Falcons stories.
One of his clients?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bad trend.
That's clearly what it is. He obviously has really, really close relationships with a lot of different players, and when something happens involving one of them, they let him know. Right. And because he does get big stories occasionally.
But only big
But
stories.
Not often. And
like
they're
he
only
really
big.
Try, yeah.
They're only big. They're only big. They're not like, so-and-so
Woods
traded for a fifth-round draft pick or something.
Right.
If it's a major deal and it happens to be one of his guys, he gets it.
All right.
And then he puts him in a headlock.
Doc, let's take a quick break. We come back. We got a lot of emails on the draft, and we'll get right to them.
BFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
I was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got
it? Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member of FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello? Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply?
250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
And now, great moments in Patriots playbook history.
Eric, you're outnumbered now. There's another lady in the room.
I know.
Yes.
I absolutely love it.
What's going on?
This is great.
Has this ever happened before? There's
for me?
Like more women than...
No. Sadly.
Oh, geez.
That's another great moment inside the playbook.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
No, man, we are back on the air, by the way.
Is the phone number.
This ketchup's terrible.
Really?
You don't get Heinz. It's like...
You got a bad packet?
It doesn't taste like ketchup. It's like bad vinegary.
That's why I didn't eat all the fries.
That's exactly what it might be you're tasting is the vinegar.
Is this fermented?
Yeah, it could be. It's been sitting around too long.
4-in-1 LLC in Chelmsford, Mass.
Oh, you never want to buy ketchup out of Chelmsford.
And this is their fancy grade A. I'd hate to see what grade B and C are.
Right.
Oh, this is terrible.
All right.
All right.
Lunch today was so nicely bought by Paul from London.
Who's getting showered on by ashes.
So thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Lunch from
Thanks,
the Pizzeria
Paul.
Grandi. And,
thank you, except for the ketchup.
Paul has an email, and he says, hope you're enjoying your pre-draft lunch.
I
thought I'd lead off with my mock draft for the Patriots, 22 Sergio Kindle,
woo!
44 Golden Tate or Damian Williams, 47
Golden
Rob
Tate.
Gronkowski.
It's Gronkowski, yeah.
And at this point, I use some artistic impression. We trade down from 53 and somehow acquire a high third rounder and a mid-round third to give up our fourth rounder as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm all right with it.
Then, he says, with that, we select Dexter McCluster and George Selvey.
Ooh, I like Selvey.
You like Selvey?
And I just picked McCluster on a two-round mock.
Hey, I'll tell you, we talked about backup quarterbacks. There is a guy out of BYU.
Oh, I hate him.
Max Hall?
Max Hall. No. You don't like him?
No, not at all.
No?
Stinks.
Not at all. I actually like the tight end from BYU better, and I'm not in love with him either.
Yeah.
Dennis Pitta.
Paul goes on.
Pitta the fool.
Now an over-under game, which I know you all like.
Over.
Round a player in this position is selected by the Patriots earlier, later, or push. QB in the sixth round.
Over.
Push.
Over? Earlier?
Over is earlier?
I don't know. Whatever you want it to be, Eric. You tell. Let me know.
Push. I think
whenever you
want to
show up for the show, you let him know.
Right.
I'll say over.
I'll go push. No. I'll go later.
I'm going
under.
Push.
Okay. Was it under? What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not that complicated. Running back in the second round.
Push.
Earlier, later, or push?
Later.
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 Does McCluster count?
As a running back? Why wouldn't
he? Because he could be a wide receiver.
Is that right?
He was a wide receiver until last year.
We're calling him a running back.
Okay, push.
I'm calling him a running back. Offensive line, fourth round.
Earlier.
Push.
I'll go push.
Yeah.
Sure, push.
Unless we make a trade and get a third rounder.
Cornerback in the fourth round.
Who?
Cornerback.
Earlier.
Push.
Earlier. You're pushing a lot today.
Safety in the fourth
round. You're very
pushy. I'm a push.
Later.
And a punter in the sixth round.
Push.
Later.
How many six-rounders do we have? I think I used all of them.
And finally, this time last year, we exposed Eric's photography habits.
Ooh.
This year, we exposed him again as a very good sports writer and radio analyst. Don't leave the show for politics, Eric. I think miss you too much. Plus, think of the dirt that we can drag up about you if you should leave.
Would you guys
go Pats, get Kindle, and I'll be listening to every minute of the podcast. I think I'm obsessed.
I am too.
I think you are too, Paul, but we like you anyway.
We love you because you're obsessed.
Well, I love him.
No, we love him
because
he bought lunch.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll love somebody else.
Unlike them.
You love him and leave him.
I love you because you listen to the show.
Well, that too.
Thanks, Paul.
A lot of people sending in their choices for the draft. This is Joe. He says
first round,
Sergio Kindle or Brandon Graham if Kindle isn't available. Second round with the 44th, Demaryius Thomas or Dez Bryant. I find it unlikely he falls this far. If neither are available, then Golden Tate.
I would probably take Bryant at 44.
So he really wants a wide receiver with that 44th pick.
I do too.
With 47, he wants to trade Washington for Haynesworth. I don't know for what, though.
47th pick.
The 47th pick.
Oh, for their 40?
No, our 47th pick for Albert Haynesworth. The second round pick.
A second round pick for Haynesworth.
That's all we'd have to give?
Yeah, I think
probably.
Well, you know,
I mean, in this day and age,
yeah. Well, if they can get rid of his
Antonio contract. Holmes for a fifth.
Yeah, well, his contract's not big.
Donovan McNabb for a. Two?
The way I mean, McNabb? A month ago I would have said there's no way you're going to get Albert Haynesworth for a two, but now, the way you know, good players are getting taken for less than you would think that they were worth, probably could get him for a two. 3 years, $16 million, Freddie. That's what's right. Left on that.
They also have a huge gap in their draft. I saw. They're like they pick fourth overall, and then they don't pick again until like 127. So there was some theory. That's another reason they want to fill in that void a little, this deep draft, get a second-round pick, whatever.
This is Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. He couldn't get dressed up for TV?
The 53rd pick, he wants Rob Gronkowski or Jermaine Gresham.
Gronkowski,
I want.
I like Gresham better, but I would not have any problem with Gronkowski because I love him too.
He says this mock has the Pats moving to a 4-3 defense
for no reason,
with Will
Paul.
Fork and Haynesworth on the inside. Kindle addresses the need for pass rush, and the wide receiver and tight end fill the need for more offensive weapons. Belichick can use the later picks to fill any other needs in offense or defense. This is my first mock, and I was wondering what you guys think. I think you guys didn't disagree with most.
Not a bad effort.
I think the players that he talks about, I think we all like.
I mean,
all
if
four
you,
of us.
Look, if you can get Haynesworth and you put and you change to a 4-3 and you've got he and Will Fork side by side, that's going to make your pass rush better. No matter. Well,
I just think if you get Haynesworth, you'll be better.
Yeah.
I'll figure out the details when I get him here, but he's a proven, very good NFL football player.
A couple of quick questions. When asked in one of last week's show how the Pats would finish the season, you all said 11-5 or 10-6, I think. So do you think this would be top of the division? Which games do you think the Pats would lose? It's too early for that.
Yeah, we can't assess.
But I do think 11-5 is reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problems with doing the whole win-loss thing because I think that stuff is fun, unlike some media people who think it's stupid. I think we do it all the time, and I think we have fun with it, especially at this time of year.
It's human nature.
I just look. The schedule is.
You've been doing it since you were like 5 years old.
Yeah.
We got Syracuse. Yeah. They were good last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whatever. Everybody does it.
It's
parents do it.
Forget it about what level you're doing it. I mean, didn't you do it when you played?
It's something to
talk
about. No,
that's what I mean.
Too.
Yeah. Like, you know? As soon as you started, in you know who the friends you played with. Oh, they got Billy Smith.
Yeah.
He's like 6 feet tall. Mustache already.
Bobby McKinnon, Mick the Quick. He was tough in Little League Baseball.
This guy, he's always going to go with
you knew you had to bring it. He was tough.
It's funny. I just showed up and played.
Man, I'm glad I never called that guy.
That's
why I never made it to BU baseball.
Or anywhere.
Yeah.
Or anywhere. He wrestled at Emerson, didn't
he? Yeah. With his singlet.
Really did you well.
After the communications class, they rolled out the mat in the same room and wrestled.
Right. Yeah. You do what we could,
Get a job in the Red Sox bullpen right now if I didn't blow out my Achilles.
Oh, shit. Not even he can buy his own crap.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we're not going to do the win-win-lose one game?
Chad and Montpelier.
I think they split with the Jets and the Dolphins in the division, 4-2.
Hey, guys, and Eric, I was watching the draft positional breakdowns on Patriots Today that Brian and Andy have been doing, and I'm begrudgingly enjoying them despite the presence of B-Lo. It's clear that Andy is the worker of the team. This got me to thinking about a segment for him for the regular season, and I think I have a decent idea.
Do I get paid?
Paul does a segment on Fridays called 5 Points with Perillo.
It finishes on Saturday.
What did he say?
It finishes on Saturday.
And it's a great preview of the upcoming weekly game. I was thinking on Mondays, Andy could do a segment called Quick Hits with Andy Hart, reviewing that game. This would be a great bookend. This would be a great bookend and allow Andy more TV time for that eventual shift to full-time BBC correspondent.
Yes.
Come on now, don't deny it. We know you're big in England. Ireland, not so much.
Well, parts of Ireland.
Who is this emailer?
Chad from Montpelier. Anyway, here's a quick little game.
You're not watching the Monday shows closely enough because B-Lo and I do like a little quick hit on the field after the game, which serves as kind of the game recap.
Here's a quick
layup for me, by the way, because I could just tell everybody which of your 5 points were totally wrong on Friday, and I look like
Paul,
a
holding
There's
on.
No way you could ever do that.
Paul is holding on
exactly
anything he can these days because he's seeing Andy start to get
into his territory. It's gotten to the point now, Fred. I'm serving as his secretary. I'm now taking calls for him. Is Andy Hart there by any chance?
Right.
Andy,
well,
are you on
tell
the big
that
show
we're
ready
this
week for
too?
Him?
No, they haven't come to their senses yet.
I felt like a medical assistant
feels like
today. The doctor will see you now, Andy.
I think this is an Andy Hart-like appearance on the big show this week, right? You're not getting your...
Oh, no, I'll be getting paid.
Oh, I'd be happy to get that, though. Why don't you get me in, Doc? Gary
supposed
used
to be doing an hour on
Gary
Thursday and Friday.
Was helping listen. Your cause.
I'm supposed to be doing an hour on Thursday and an hour on Friday. Here, from our studio.
Wow, that's convenient.
From your seat.
Are they going to be here, too, or are you going to call in?
No, they'll be here.
Oh, okay.
They're doing the show.
That's the
here.
Show that Doc is so, you know,
that's why we can't do a
trying
show
to prepare
on Thursday.
Anyway, here's a quick little game for this week's draft. Scenario A or B? Scenario
A.
First round, Dez Bryant. Second round, Dexter McCluster, Rob Gronkowski, and Brandon Spikes. Obviously, an offensive move. Or scenario B, first round, Sergio Kindle,
B.
Golden Tate. Use 2 second round picks to trade up for Tate in a third. And then second round, Brandon Spikes, and third round, Tim Tebow. I don't know.
B is better. We don't want Dez Bryant.
I have no problem with Dez Bryant.
You don't want
I just
Dez
don't
Bryant?
Want to take
no.
him with the first round pick.
Just attitude, off-field stuff,
yeah.
Eric?
And I don't think his – I think his talent is overrated.
Really?
Where is
I think he's going to be a terrific player. That's what we
it.
Disagree on him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good too.
I just – I'm a little afraid to take him in the first round because of the off-field stuff and the reputation with the his ability to pick up the playbook and stuff like that. That worries me.
I
have enough worries just taking a player – and hoping that that guy can translate. I'm pretty sure about that, but I don't know about the rest of the stuff.
Well,
so
I also
I'd
worry,
rather take him in the second round, but he's not going to be available.
I don't know. Everything I see on tape, I mean, I know most college defenses don't really play man-to-man press coverage and that kind of thing, but every highlight of Dez Bryant's, he doesn't have to beat anybody off the ball. He just runs 15, 20 yards downfield before he comes into contact with a defender. I mean, you're not going to be able to get away with that in the NFL.
That's a good point. That's why those personal workouts are so important.
But you've seen Golden Tate beat a lot of that kind of coverage.
I saw more of it with him than I did.
They don't play press coverage in college.
I'm going by the tape that we watch, Paul. By the tape that we watch, there were more instances of Golden Tate doing it than Dez Bryant. That's what I'm going
by. How about the games that you
watch
these guys play?
Oh, that's true. That you and I watched,
Andy. With guys like that, the household names, I mean, you
did have to push your face into
the
water.
I don't know if you know, but Notre Dame has a national contract with NBC. Every one of their games is on.
Yes, I know. I've seen them.
So, I mean, I watched the guy play. He didn't face a whole lot of press coverage.
He's very angry.
He is. Happens when you get that.
Anyway, Chad,
you guys went down to the combine, didn't like the guy, and I have no problem with that.
My issue is actually his hands.
You've been very good with those kind of snap judgments. But that's
average
what this
to
is
below
all about.
See, for me, it's the hands. Because the immaturity, we've said all along, is immaturity. It's not criminal.
Right. And that immaturity showed to you guys in person.
Well,
that's
more
why
than immaturity,
it's a concern to me.
Mm-hmm. Idiocy showed in
right.
person.
Right. But that's why I would not take him in the first
round. I don't
round.
Think his hands are
I'm
good.
I'm trusting you guys.
I don't think he keeps tying himself to Moss, which is smart, I guess, in this because you want people to fear that they're passing on Moss at 10, 11, 12, 14.
But with Moss,
but
you
at
also
some
have
point,
the...
you have to perform like Randy Moss, and I think his hands are eh. I think he is a run-under kind of guy. I think he has to run under every ball. I think anytime his hands are above his chest and he actually has to catch the ball, I think he's suspect. I think he's a 50-50 Ben Watson type.
You might be right. You might be right. I certainly wouldn't put him in Randy Moss's category. Coming out of college, forget about what we know what Moss has done.
Not even close.
Moss in college was...
He's been a freak since the day he touched
balls. He was already a freak.
Well, basketball, too, so I had to include multiple balls.
Another receiver.
Why is it going to be always dirty with you, Eric? I was talking about athletics. He used a football and a basketball. That's two different kinds of balls.
Anyway, Chad is a big fan of Eric, and he's saying that he's hoping that one day his girl from Egypt will come running into his arms, Scrabble board in tow, and then he'll blow that popsicle stand you call a newspaper and take his rightful place as a congressman of Rhode Island, or at least that's what he tells himself when he lays in bed at night. So...
But she's not from Egypt. That makes it sound like it's hard for her to get to him. She's like, Paul drove to a basketball game where she lives. I mean, it's not that hard.
That's true. You're not still corresponding.
There's not oceans apart. It's called 95.
When does the restraining order end?
In point of fact, I drove farther than that for a basketball.
Whatever.
You did.
You get my point. You stayed in traffic longer.
No question. But, yeah, it was kind of portrayed in that, like,
Eric,
if only we could be together someday.
Yeah.
Romeo,
right.
Wherefore art thou, Eric?
Good.
Right here, right up 95. Get in your car and drive
right
to him
here.
If you want.
Fox writes in. His name is Fox.
Mulder?
He says, I run into Ken Walter almost every other day. Always ask him about teammates he keeps in touch with. I asked him about Belichick, and he told me one of the greatest guys I've ever known, not just as a coach, but as a person. Already knew that, but it was nice to hear confirmation.
Already knew that. That's
also, good. If a player like
You've
Tebow.
Met Belichick? Who's
that?
This guy?
Fox.
Fox.
But he met Belichick?
He's been in a hole with Belichick.
No. How do you know that?
Ken Walter.
Oh, okay.
Also,
but
player,
the guy said, I already knew that, but it's nice to have it confirmed.
I know that, too. Also, okay. If a player like Tebow, and I say this because I take him in the 33rd round if he went that high, decides he wants to go to a team, doesn't care about money, and drops out of the draft, can they sign him with a team as a free agent? Could they pick the team they want to go to? How would the NFL prevent this? What are the rules in drafting?
Stopped listening. What was it?
So, if a player,
a player says, "Don't draft me," but then after the draft says, oh, "Okay, I want to play now. I can now I want
well,
to sign
he
with somebody."
Well, drops out of the draft. Can he then be?
Yes, he's called an undrafted free agent.
But I don't
but
know.
If you make yourself not draft eligible, I don't think you can do that.
Oh, I think how would you make yourself not draft eligible
by running to the league and saying, "I don't want to be drafted."
I don't want to. Then you have to apply for the draft.
No, I know. Let's say you get to the fifth round, you haven't been drafted yet, and like that's it. I'd rather become a free agent.
It's too late at that point.
Right.
You can't do it officially. I thought the guy was just like spreading the word, don't draft me or something.
Yeah, no.
You can't do that.
But I
don't play baseball like Bo.
Yeah, if you didn't declare for the draft, you can't then make yourself available to only one team. No. You'd be available in a supplemental draft where the whole league would be able to take you.
And no one would.
In July.
No one ever does, except for Tony Hollins.
Web radio at patriots.com. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. Paulie. I know you're high on Derek Morgan, and I know I don't see tape on the player. Wait for it, but I would bet that there was no film on Derek Morgan during the last Orange Bowl. I couldn't remember why his name was so familiar until you said he was from Georgia Tech. Then I remembered how much he was hyped before the game against Iowa and how he made one play during that game.
Yeah, he had a bad game.
He was going up against Brian Beluga, but that is the caliber of player he will be going up against every weekend. In the biggest game of his career, and he didn't show up.
It's true. I can't argue with that. He had a terrible game that day.
When did he become like Derek Morgan's?
Yeah, I mean, I do.
You got to answer for Derek Morgan.
No, Sawyer's right. I like Derek Morgan. I mean, that's not inaccurate to say that I've been high on him. But
it also built Brian Bulaga's career. I have heard that referenced so many times as reason for skyrocketing him.
And it was one game. I mean, if he played in a league or if he played, you know.
They played nine times, they might win eight, but no, not tonight.
Screw them! but if they played in a league where there was, like, let's just say two or three teams in the league had pro-caliber offensive tackles and you got shut down by all three of them,
right?
That might cause me some concern. But if it's a one-time thing, you know, who knows? I mean, let's look at the balance of the guy's career and see if you think he can play. There's questions about where he fits because, you know, and a lot of people don't think, and Andy was one of these, that they don't think he could be an outside linebacker. So
he's a 3-4.
Now he's a 4-3 end.
Holy dear.
I'm going to guess that he could probably play in a system like the Tampa 2 or, you know, like what the Colts do with Mathis and Freeney. I think he could get after the passer in a situation like that.
Let's see. Jason and Chiba. Haven't heard from him in a long time.
Chiba.
Not sure this is a good use of time right before the draft, but I've now heard Paul a couple of times say he or we don't like Simmons. You know, the sports guy.
Bill Simmons?
Paul loves him.
I get the
he wraps his arms
thing.
Around him every time he sees
I
him.
I get the big time thing, but was wondering if there's anything else to that, just, you know, curious as a fan.
Well, I think Bill Simmons, and this is the writer aspect of it, he is outstanding when writing about the NBA. I don't think he's very, very good analyzing any other sport. I think the only thing that he does, I think, at a level that's out of the ordinary is his NBA stuff. I think he's incredibly gifted. I think he's a good writer. I think his pop culture references are generally funny.
His WrestleMania diaries are pretty good.
They're very funny. I think he's very gifted. I just don't think that I think there's a difference between sports writing and entertainment writing. That's what he does. He writes to entertain. He's good at it. He's made, obviously, a great career out of it. I did work with him for a couple of years, well, not probably about a year or a year and a half or so, way, way, way back when. So, you know, I do like him, but I don't see the fascination.
Who else did you work with in that group?
Oh, pretty much any of the biggies that you know right now in national – national media.
Going back to the 40s.
At least Tony Maserati, Michael Felger.
Isn't there some other guy in there? Graham Simmons, or Archer, one of
Tim
those
Graham,
guys.
Now Tim Graham, the AFC, ESPN.com AFC East blogger, Tim Graham.
Karen Garigian.
Well, they're all still with
Barack Obama.
George Kimball. They were.
People have really taken off since they worked there.
I like Bill. I just don't think. I think that.
Yeah, you ran up and hugged him when we saw
the sarcastic shots that he takes at players, I think, is very easy to do from afar.
When like you on never the show when we do it.
Right, exactly.
When I would never put this in print.
And that's why we can't take shots. Because of your guy, because all of a sudden you got all comfy, cozy with Teddy Bruschi now. Now he's listening to us, so we have to be on our best behavior because Teddy will go back and tell everybody.
It's true.
You know? So, no, it's very easy to take sarcastic shots at people when you know you never have to face these guys.
These things really are huge.
When you're saying a guy can't play, like it's you know, Bill Simmons' case, you come up with this cute Ewing theory. Is that funny? Yeah, it is funny. You take a star away from a team in the short term, and that team gets better. A supposed star. The Ewing theory was what he came up with. Well, you think if he was covering the Knicks for a living and he had to go in and face Patrick Ewing every day, it would have been that easy to come up with this glib little Ewing theory? No, and I don't think he would have done it. So, exactly.
Who, you or him?
No, him.
Oh.
So, Jason has another question. Is it me or does it feel like we need another functional D lineman? Were we not just killed by a team that ran right at our patchwork D line? Missing something? I agree that our first look ought to be pass rush, but after that, I'm not sure there's a more glaring need. What do you guys think about that?
I think we could use another defensive
functional
line.
Is a good word, but I'm not sure you draft functional with a 22nd pick.
Right.
Functional is a veteran, you know, signing. Functional is a second-round pick. You know, Brace wasn't. He was dysfunctional as a rookie, but 22nd.
Myron Pryor maybe steps up and plays
right,
a little
that's
bit more.
Functional to me. If I draft a guy 22nd, that's like my highest need. I expect him to be very good. So that's a good word. I like the functional.
Some classic stuff. I'm watching this thing on Nesson, and they're showing Jim
See
Rice.
How much Paul puts into the show.
Jim Rice is going over with his five favorite ballparks, top five ballparks. I don't know if they're all supposed to the ones that are no longer in existence, and that's the thing here. But the first one he has was Memorial Stadium, and they show a clip of him hitting at Metropolitan Stadium in Minnesota. Memorial Stadium was in Baltimore.
That's where Bill Belichick had a tiny little office.
That's right.
One other thing from Jason. How many sacks did Thomas have before he went out in 08? I know we're all fans of saying he sucked in New England, but I'm not really sure that's true.
Didn't he have 5 in 10 games?
He was underwhelming as a Patriot.
Always has been. PFW was ahead of the curve on that one. We argued like forever, 3 years ago, how underwhelming. I believe we were using the word wow plays, and he never made any.
He had 5 sacks in 9 games in 08. 6.5 sacks in 16 games in 07. He was underwhelming. I mean, it is what it is.
Okay.
In 07, you said?
08.
Didn't you give me another number?
5 in 08, 6.5 in 07.
This year he played inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. That number looks more impressive linebacker.
Much more impressive, yeah.
Dave from Atlanta says, I think keeping the division games at the end will keep players working harder, although I don't like the idea of there being a lot of injuries and fatigue in the last games of the season. Also, they will sell more tickets even if they rest up because I imagine fans go to division games more often due to rivalries and such. So that's one.
Maybe.
I think they go to see a good game.
Yeah, right. The fans thing, I can't quantify the fan thing. I don't know. That might be legit.
Peter in Northern Ireland has a little game. Seeing as you guys know so much about the AFC East, if you were the GM of the other teams in our division, who would you draft? So for the Bills, Clausen, Trent Williams, or Brian Bulaga. The Dolphins, Dan Williams, Sergio Kindle, or Jason Pierre-Paul. The Jets, Jerry Hughes, Golden Tate, or Demaryius Thomas.
I would take Clausen if I'm the Bills. I mean,
Clausen at 9?
He's there.
They
need
a
quarterback.
He's the
next best one after Bradford.
And if he's not the right one, well, you'll be out of work in a couple of years anyway, so who cares?
Maybe out of Buffalo, too.
Well, no, yeah, that's what I mean, like Coach GM. If you pick him, you're sure you needed one, but if he's not the right one, you're porked.
I would rather have drafted a guy who I think can be good and have him not work out and then lose my job than pass on the guy and forever be looking for a quarterback to get me to the next level and then lose my job and then be saying, geez, I never had a quarterback. They never gave me the resources to work with. I had to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'd go Clausen there. Just try it.
Yeah. And who was the
swing?
First of all, I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. Do I think he's going to be a super superstar? I don't think so. I don't think
now
he's good
two
enough.
Two supers. So he's going to be a superstar.
I don't think he's talented enough right now, and you know that gives us a good jumping off point to talk about that John Gruden thing.
Best TV special ever on ESPN.
An hour special with John Gruden's quarterback training
camp.
School,
yep.
Quarterback camp.
Fired football coaches of America,
FFCA. I thought it was tremendous TV. He sat down with Bradford, Clausen, Tebow, and Colt McCoy, sort of broke them down on film, was very, very critical of all four of them, gave them some pointers. It was very entertaining to watch. And the one thing that comes out about the Clausen one that I think his kind of a reputation that's nagged him is perhaps his unwillingness to sort of be a leader and instead kind of be a finger pointer. And,
like,
you know,
Eric.
He talked about being a highly touted guy at Notre Dame when he came in there. There was a play that he threw a fade down the sideline that was just thrown up for grabs. There was no receiver there. Gruden asked him what happened on that. Clausen explained how there was a check and there was a signal made, and Gruden said, so he just didn't get the check, and Clausen probably should have left it at that. It was a miscommunication. Instead, Clausen said, oh, no, he got the check.
Right, like,
you
just
know,
kept going.
So he throws his wide receiver under the bus.
Right.
I have no doubt that that's what happened, but I don't think you get yourself any points as a quarterback by throwing your wide receiver under the bus there, and NFL guys are looking at this stuff.
Yeah.
So, but it was very good TV. Andy saw it last week and told me about it.
Eric, you said it's on.
I stumbled on it.
I think it's on tomorrow night. I DVR'd, set the DVR
for
it. It's
very, very good. It's a quick hour, too.
Yeah,
it goes
and
by
also,
quick.
If you go to ESPN.com, they have clips of each one of those quarterbacks with Gruden, you know, like 3-4 minutes of each one. And Gruden really has a good personality for TV.
He does. Andy and I were talking about
this. The thing about Gruden, he doesn't get on TV, and he's not afraid to be himself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you have to do, is you have to be yourself when you're doing this stuff. You can't.
Right to the point where a couple times I thought he was going to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah.
He started to get into coach speak, and you felt like the F-bomb was coming.
He edited himself?
Yeah.
And said that thing about the raid. I thought the F-bomb was coming
out
before raid.
He got into coach gear. Like, in a meeting room, I'm just ripping this guy, or I'm just on.
Yeah.
But he's definitely... you know, most of these coaches that go to the booth are looking to just take a little bit of a break and then bounce back and coach somewhere else.
Right.
He might be doing that too, but I think he has a really legitimate future as a broadcaster, as like the number one guy.
He's not afraid to be himself.
Well, after
I
saw this,
he should focus on
it. I think they should pull him off the games and try to do more of this stuff, because I think people are going to watch the games. It's Monday Night Football. That's what you do. You go home, you see who's on, you put it on.
But I like him in Jaws.
He's good. But if you can do specials and sports and can increase viewership
can
in other ways.
Yeah, you can still do that.
Well, I'm sure he's not taking the PFW mentality where I signed a contract and they can add a new job every 3 weeks.
No, but I think that they increase
redo
it.
Your contract.
I think, you know, this guy's a worker.
I just think he'd be so good, and he's limited by the game. I think he's better in a studio show and then on a specials like this. But I just want to show my unbiased nature. Colt McCoy, I thought, stole the show. And after you watch that,
he's the most likable.
I wouldn't want to have a draft pick because now I'd be swayed.
Yeah.
If that was what he gave teams in the interviews, individual meetings, he's very likable. He's very genuine. That's not to compare him to anyone else who may or may not have been on the special and may or may not be a former Heisman Trophy winner.
Rhymes
McCoy
with Ebo.
Is genuine, intangibles. I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback, but I'll have him on my team any day.
Well, the clips I saw, you know, with Tebow, they brought him out and they were working on his quick release and all that stuff. And
which looked fine.
It looked fine, but you didn't see where the ball was going.
What everybody likes to look past.
Yeah.
Everybody focuses on the throw.
Right.
Where does it end?
Right.
Because no matter how he does it, even with his preferred way of the long motion with the loop, half the time it was all over the place. He's not that good.
Well, I think that...
You've come around on Tebow.
I have.
You now think he's going to be a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
No, I
starting quarterback in the
That's
NFL.
That's what you said in the
I
first
think he will,
of the show.
I think he will start eventually in the NFL. Yeah.
At quarterback?
At quarterback. He may, you know, may not be a Pro Bowl player.
How about a super superstar?
No.
That's the new measuring stick for
super
Paul.
Superstar?
What?
A dink. Well, when he makes that 7-year leap, dink. Paul, then he'll be a super superstar.
That's true.
Oh, did you happen to see the SPFW today that claimed that the second year in the system for all these guys, and Fred Taylor was one of the guys that was going to make a
leap? I chuckled a little. I thought of you guys.
Webradiopatriots.com, 508-543-7482. You know what? I'm completely forgetting about the people on the phone. Anyone on the phone right now?
I think Phil is.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Hey, good, Fred. How are you?
Sorry about that.
Fred, I consider you to be the mouthpiece of the fans, not of the organization.
Thank you, because I don't want to be the mouthpiece of the organization, or I'd be getting a lot of trouble.
That's true.
Remember that rape and pillage? That's a good point, Phil. Absolutely. That's what we're going to go with when we get in trouble. Fred's the mouthpiece of the fans, not the organization.
You can use it. Hey, I got a question for you guys about Kindle. Everyone seems to be in love with him. You know, down here I get all the UT games, probably watched 8 or 10 games last year. There's a lot of games where he just didn't show up.
That's what John Rook told us.
There are
the
questions
too.
About that.
He very inconsistent.
But the one thing I would wonder is based, and I haven't watched every game. I'm sure you've watched more games than me. He wasn't always asked to just flat out rush the passer. His versatility is supposedly his strength. So I think that would play into games where Mike Vrabel's the guy I've been using him to compare to. There were plenty of years where Mike Vrabel had 4.5 sacks, but I think played a very key role for this defense.
But Mike Vrabel had huge production when he was at Ohio State, playing the same position in college.
Well, he was a D-end in college all the time.
Right.
And Kindle was D-end and then linebacker. He's played both.
Well, he's a D-end last year.
He played a lot of linebacker last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Played linebacker against Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, it's a kind of a stand-up position. Well, my point is, you know, he's playing in the Big 12. There's a lot of spread offenses. They were ahead in most of the games. Hardly any of these teams had, you know, blocking tight ends. I would expect that guy to have 10 or 15 sacks this year.
Rushing the passer every snap.
Pardon me?
If he was rushing the passer every snap. Those spread offenses, are you telling me he didn't do anything other than rush the passer?
He's mostly D-end.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You may see more than I have, but read and looked into, he was asked to do a lot of things for Texas.
I don't think he's going to make his living as a pass rusher.
I don't either. If you expect him
to
come in,
that's what you're looking
sacks.
For, a 15 sack guy, then you're right. He's not the guy, Phil.
Yeah, going into the championship game, he had 3 sacks.
I don't think that's not the thing he does best.
But that's exactly what the Patriots.
That's why I like him. He does
they
everything
need somebody
well.
Somebody who can be that guy.
But I'm looking for a pass rushing outside linebacker. Aren't you at 22?
Well, the Patriots are never going to take just a pass rusher.
Right.
They're never going to do that.
Because so you would like Jerry Hughes or Brandon Graham.
It's the stat that Bill Belichick thinks
Brandon Graham.
And
those are the
two stated repeatedly is the most overrated stat in football, the quarterback sack. So I don't see him ever taking a guy who just excels at rushing the passer. I don't see him doing that.
According to our lads about Kindle, he said if he went hard every play, he would have doubled his negative yardage plays.
That's a concern.
That's the concern that Andy brought up, and that John
he was
actually,
Lawrence Taylor.
In fairness, John Rook brought that up to us during the season.
He didn't live up to the hype. There's no question. There's no getting around that. But he fits everything they want a guy to do with that position.
Now, to be fair, you know, living up to the hype of Lawrence Taylor, a lot of people are going to fall short of that.
Right.
But the question is, our caller said, Phil.
Phil.
Said, you know, he's looking for that outside linebacker who can get to the quarterback and get you 10, 12, 15 sacks a season. I'm kind of looking for that too, but I don't know if you're going to get that in this draft.
Phil, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like he was the exact same player as Brian Arakpo, that they did the exact same job?
No, I think Arakpo was more physical. Kindle is more of a speed guy.
No, but I'm saying they were asked to do the same thing.
When Arakpo and Kindle were playing together, Kindle had 10 sacks.
Right. No, but my question is, as I've been described their roles, Arakpo was a straight-ahead pass rusher for them, whereas Kindle is a true outside linebacker who does a variety of things. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe
well,
I was missold.
Well, he played mostly DN last year, though.
That seems to be a point of contention.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, As I said, I'm sure you've watched a lot more games than I have.
I mean, all these draft guys call him one of the best strong side run stoppers at linebacker that they've seen. So,
right.
I don't know exactly what position
you're right,
that
though.
They
if you're fixated
it.
On the sack, you're not going to get
the guy.
That.
If you're looking for him to come in, like as you put it, Phil, 10, 12, 15 sacks, then I agree with you. He's not that player.
That's why we're lukewarm about the Patriots taking him. But the issue is,
player for the Patriots since Andre Tippett?
I think he does all of the things that you want out of a outside linebacker. I think he'll set the edge. I think he'll get after the passer occasionally. And I think he's athletic enough and fast enough to drop into zones and probably do a pretty good job in the against the pass.
You know what? I think fans like Phil are going to be disappointed because they're going to expect him to come in and be that kind of player.
But they won't be if it's going three and out. They may not see the sack numbers, but if the defense is going three and out and they're not seeing Chad Henne pick him apart down the field, they'll say, I don't know what it is, but something's better, and Kendall's part of it.
Maybe.
All right, Phil, thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. Take care.
See you, Phil. No, but I do think Phil is right. He's not a dominant pass rusher. That's not how I don't think he's going to be one of these guys that comes into the NFL like DeMarcus Ware and Sean Merriman, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this guy can get after the passer. No. One of these other guys, a guy like Brandon Graham.
Could be.
Or Jerry Hughes or one of these guys. That's who ends up winning Defensive Rookie of the Year, generally, is a guy who flashes as a pass rusher. So I think people might be initially disappointed that they took Kendall over somebody, but I think in the long run, Kendall's a better player.
But when you're compared to Lawrence Taylor going into college, Lawrence Taylor was the get-to-the-quarterback guy.
Taylor did everything at an ungodly level.
He did.
Everything.
Including getting to the quarterback.
And he didn't just rush the passer.
Right.
He was that good that he got there so often that it made it look like that, but saw him dropping and setting the edge as
Same
many times as anybody else.
Right.
Rob in Boston, hey, guys, happy 420. This is marijuana day, I guess.
Yes, I wouldn't know.
Doc told
then
me.
Then that's when they smoke.
I'm sure. No, you only know how to beat the drug test.
Hope you guys are token.
Never had to beat that one.
Played. So Rob's token. I wanted to know what you guys think of Derek Burgess for next year. Could he become more effective? I recall him being underwhelming, but he got my attention when Belichick seemed to really like him. Plus, he handled the whole late gate fiasco, the total opposite of AD, which made me respect him more. I know it's been said before, but AD is a total jackass. We need to get rid of him now.
Has that actual phrase been said before?
Derek Burgess is unemployed.
And like a month and a half ago, somebody said it could be done within
A week.
So they didn't say the signing. They said the decision could come within a week. So if the decision came within a week, then they've decided he's not part of the team.
The only thing I could think is that they've offered him something. He said no, and maybe whatever that something was might look a little bit more attractive in June when he has no job. That's the only.
If they offered him anything more than a quarter,
he's a minimum guy.
I wouldn't even. I don't want him.
Based on what he did
last year, I'd rather
see
Rob Ninkovich on the field.
He's no more than a veteran minimum guy based on what he did last year.
I'd rather see Pierre Woods on the field. No, maybe
really.
And I thought that was one of the more unbelievable aspects of the 2009 season was Bill Belichick's testimonial to Derek Burgess.
I think some of the D-line felt that way too.
Maybe the most internally disingenuous thing he's said plenty about other teams.
Right.
Where you go, he doesn't believe that. He's just saying it. I don't know that I ever really definitively
like
said,
the year we played Cleveland and they had like 144 total points and they could score from anywhere.
They could. They haven't, but they could.
Generally for the other team, anywhere in the field, they could turn it over and cause it.
But I don't often remember factually thinking when he said something about his own team.
Yeah, wow.
Just flat out, I don't agree with it, but that was certainly the case in that.
And as Eric points out, the defensive linemen on this team certainly felt that way because they were sort of incredulous when informed about that.
It's true.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 518-543-7402. Lot more phone calls and emails coming your way right after this.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. I was looking for a punchline on that. I was like a straight.
You're making me uncomfortable with that.
What do you call that when it's like that?
Just a straight comeback?
It's called a comeback. Okay. Trying to get all these terms in. Rob writes in from Hudson, New Hampshire.
Excuse Andy. Bo Jackson's on NFL Network.
These guys have angles on them, and he just absolutely pulls away.
Bo Jackson highlights on TV. Good afternoon,
the
gentlemen.
That's the one he turns around. Yeah.
I have a draft question for you. In one of the latest mock drafts that I saw this morning, Derek Morgan falls to Atlanta with the 19th pick. If he does indeed fall that far, would you like to see the Pats trade up a few spots to get him? Or do you not think that he would fit into what we do on defense?
Nope. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to trust Andy on this. I wouldn't trust you. Trust you? I'm not sure he has the ability to play outside linebacker.
Even if he doesn't fit in, I would like them to draft him because what he does best is what we lack most. I think Bill could put him in positions to be successful. In the second round, I'm hoping for Brandon Spikes, Javid Best, and Marty Gilliard. Would you boys be happy with that for a second round? You may see Spikes as a reach for the second round, but we don't currently have a third-round pick, and I think he would fit in nicely in the middle of the defense next year.
I'm not a big fan of Gilliard.
I'm not either.
What about this
Brandon
Spikes?
What don't you like about Marty Gilliard?
He's just average. I'm not sure he's elite. I agree with Eric.
Elite? Absolutely not. He's a mid-round pick.
Yeah, but getting him in the second is kind of...
And I'm just comparing him, like Thomas... Damian Williams, I think, could have a better pro career.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Golden Tate.
Yeah.
I think in the comparison game.
I think he's in line with those
not
guys.
Not sure. I would have to see how all the other guys came off the board. I agree with you. He's kind of in that area. I would put him down the bottom of that group. He's ahead of Jordan Shipley of that next tier.
Yeah.
But he's kind of at the end of that second-round caliber receiver for me.
They don't like any receivers. They just want to play without wide receivers this year. Frank.
I think there's a lot of ants in this
year's
class.
It's going to be the five tight end offense.
No, the Wildcat.
Andy and Eric.
Well, we need to get a few more tight ends then because
they only have one right now.
It's got a good point. I do love a lot of the tight ends.
Johnny, you hate all the wide receivers.
No, that's not true. See, this is what you do.
You kind of like Damian Williams. Kind of.
I like him.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm intrigued by the theory
you
of Demaryius
Golden Tate.
Thomas. Although, again, he still can't run.
I'm intrigued by him, too, but there's so much So much uncertainty with that wishbone. It's hard to make a projection.
I'd rather have him than Dwyer.
You know, there was a... there's a lot... You know, the wishbone used to be so prevalent.
Loved it.
There were a lot of wide receivers that came out of the wishbone and ended up being pretty good players.
Well, yeah, because there's guys that are... It just doesn't maximize athletes. Their... You know what I mean? They would have been good no matter what you put them in.
Irving Fryer, right? Didn't...
Yeah.
First overall pick?
I was thinking of getting some of that stuff, Fred.
That Scott's easy seed is the real deal.
Filling in a few little...
It does work.
So work
you
on hair?
Yeah. Yeah. Might, Paul.
Will asked me yesterday why I had a hole in my head.
Wow. He's already funnier than you.
I didn't need the rim shot for that one. That was legit.
Johnny Aula says, 2.5 days left until we find out what Bill is going to do, and I'm all a Twitter.
We have
or
a trade
Andy
to announce.
Put it, I have a severe case of nippus erectus.
Oh.
Seriously, I'm more excited about
no, that
this.
Came from the Bo Jackson clips.
Those weren't my nipples that were hard. You're going to tell me you don't watch that and see greatness, Paul? Paul, let's be honest. I know you're looking at Megyn Kelly and I'm looking at Bo, and it's a little weird, but you're going to tell me you don't watch those highlights and just see pure greatness.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
I could watch. Anytime it's on, I would stop and watch to its conclusion. The Marcus Allen Super Bowl run. It's one of the best individual runs I've ever seen, probably ever will see. There's a clip that they show of Gale Sayers in the late 60s that I have no idea the context of, that I think he returns a punt. He must break about 27 tackles. The clip of Barry Sanders running against the Patriots of all teams.
That's a good
against
one.
My team, that he turns Harlan Barnett around twice in the same – it's just greatness is to be appreciated.
And Bo.
And Bo was great.
Thank you.
Johnny says, seriously, I'm more excited about this draft than I've been in years, and I think we can come up with some good little players. After 4 years of listening to PFW, I think I finally have the Patriots draft system figured out. The management waits to hear what you guys pick and then do the exact opposite.
Pretty much.
Please, please, please don't let it be so this year, because I really like Andy's pick, Sergio Kindle. I think he would be a great fit for us, and I just hope he lasts until 22. Do you think he will last that long, or do you think Bill will move up to get him if he feels someone else is going to take him?
There are a lot of mock scenarios where he's available.
Yeah, he is available.
Some of those mock scenarios, he remains available after the Patriots.
Why do they forget? Why do they forget the few that we get right?
Too? Yeah, he's an idiot. He's definitely a bit of an idiot.
This is the one that ran his car into
But
he landed on the sidewalk. The sidewalk was a skinny sidewalk. Yeah. Had there been a bigger sidewalk, he would not have hit the building.
Right. Still would have been driving on the sidewalk.
Oh, believe me, he and Dez Bryant have had some good theoretical debates together.
Yeah, I told you, though. I saw an off-field thing about Kindle with that kid in high school, his high school teammate. Yep. I think a comparison with him and Bryant there in that kind of regard is way off.
Well, I don't think Bryant's a bad guy.
But he's been around some bad stuff. Maybe it's not his fault. I mean, his mother being a drug dealer and stuff like that. I don't think Kindle was exposed to that kind of stuff off-field. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the guy, but based on that
you would if you went to the combine.
I think it was a. do you know what Kindle was involved in? Just out of curiosity. Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Wow, he's so sensitive.
Andrew in Ukraine, I want to look at something Andy said recently, but from a different angle. I disagree with the idea that a lot of what ifs are a bad thing for the Patriots. At least as it applies to the guys from the 09 draft. The Jets only have 3 guys from last year's draft, and if the Big Two aren't everything the Jets hope they are, then the Jets will be sunk. On the other hand, the Pats have 12 picks. They have a much bigger margin of error than the Jets. If half of the picks tank, they could still have 6 good or great players. True, they have more what-ifs, but they don't need every one of those to succeed to improve.
What? Are we really going with that? We'll throw more picks against the wall and hope more of them are better?
Right. I mean, you know, 5 of those 12 are seventh-round picks.
Right. I think we're talking...
Plus, the Jets have proven when they go after a guy, for the most part, they're good. They traded up to get Revis. They saw David Harris and said, I want to go get David Harris. He can play.
I will agree with the Jets' criticism in that if Mark Sanchez doesn't hit, the rest of this is going to look just average at best, because you can't win big with average to below average player quarterback. So if Sanchez doesn't prove to be worth trading up for, I think it would be a lot of work to sort of, you know, go 8-8 on a consistent basis. But if he hits, I don't care that they only have 6 draft picks this year. And by the way, they had 7 because they drafted Santonio Holmes. Don't forget that. We refuse to be allowed to forget.
Here's
that.
Here's where Paul fights Patriots... with, like, this non-existent.
No, this no, like...
no, no, because you're one.
Don't
that,
forget that you.
You're
Who's
one.
You?
You're one that adheres to the theory that they drafted Wes Welker and Randy Moss.
They used that draft to get those guys.
They made excellent trades to get
right,
those guys.
Right.
Yes. That's so the Patriot, the right. Jets made an excellent trade to get Santonio Holmes.
But who's not saying that's true?
Well, it's not true. It's not a draft pick.
Oh, yeah,
those
yeah,
people.
That guy. You better remember that.
Just saying.
So neither, that guy is
neither
Fred.
Neither team is allowed to say that they use the draft to get a player.
No, I'm saying you can't do one or the other. If you're saying they're draft picks, they're draft picks. If you're saying they're not, they're not. You can't say the Jets only have six draft picks, which is what everybody around New England says. Patriots have 12, Jets have six. Right?
Right.
Well, the Jets already used one on Santonio Holmes. That's seven.
Well, this one guy said
no,
that.
No, it's not. This is not directed to the one emailer. This is directed to the Patriots fans who
you
have already
Don
said
Coyote
that.
You are Don fighting the windmills. You really are.
All right. All right. Do I have to say the article?
You like that?
Eric's the only one that would be intellectually high enough to understand that joke.
Where I quit Spanish.
Right. That's exactly.
They pulled out a book for me to read. I go,
hi ho. That's exactly why I quit Spanish. AP, my junior year.
Hell
we
yeah.
We had to read Don Quixote, and it was entirely in Spanish.
AP Spanish?
Yeah, my junior year of high school.
Get that.
I went a quarter and a half, and I said, see you, bye. Thanks for coming. I didn't want that spoiling my
you didn't
transcript.
Say adios?
Anyway,
no, vaya con Dios.
If you want
all
the specific,
right. We know you took Spanish. You're great, Eric.
If you
I
want the specific, Fred,
the language of love.
Oh my God,
that's Italian and French,
and you speak all of
which is for
all
both.
Of the Romance languages.
Right, right.
It just doesn't work for him. Coincidentally, no matter what language he uses, the women hate no, it.
It'd be more like ironically.
Still, you saying it.
Anyway, Fred, the ESPN Boston combating columns, the Jets, the ESPN New York. Column
right.
that declared
right.
the Jets the winner.
Right.
The ESPN Boston column by Mike.
Right.
Saying, oh, let's put the brakes on. Here's another aspect. This was in there. Here's another aspect where the draft. The Patriots have 12. Jets only have six. Completely ignoring the fact that they used a draft pick.
Plus, five of them are seventh round picks, aren't they?
Well, that's neither here nor there. Plus, I like two of them, sixth rounders, two.
Sure. I mean, we're going to load up on Jags. We'll cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Spencer Need.
Nate writes in, why not trade a second-round pick to San Diego for Sean Merriman? What's wrong with that idea?
So in well, that case, value was a Need pick as well.
Spencer Need?
Need was a value pick.
There you go.
Really? No rim shot for that?
Well, there you
He's
go.
He's not paying attention.
I'm not sure Sean Merriman's worth a two at this point based on everything else, but, I mean, is he a good player anymore?
I don't know.
Post-knee injury?
I would take a flyer on him.
I would,
I don't
too,
know what
to
I'd be
me,
willing
a second
to give...
is not a flyer. Yeah, we were just talking about getting Albert Haynesworth for a second.
I don't know what yeah. I'd be willing to give up for him, but I would certainly be interested in acquiring Sean Merriman to see if he has anything left.
A fourth.
Sure. All right.
Okay.
He didn't know, but
he got Moss for a fourth, so why not?
I might not be...
It'd be a good draft if they got Sean Merriman
Listen,
for a fourth.
Right. Bill could convince me he's worth a second, Andy. I don't know. I mean, I don't...
Derek Burgess would be worth, like...
A third and a fifth?
I never said that.
At his age? I mean, Merriman's a lot younger. Even though he's damaged goods.
What if you had an eighth round pick, Bill?
Who's Bill?
Well, that'd be like two sevens.
That'd be like, oh,
okay.
He's taking too long.
Actually, two nines.
Why don't you use the eight soundbite? He's just so out of it today.
Who?
Doc.
Oh. Well, today? He's enwrapped with the, you know, his conversations with Roger Goodell.
He's got a dip in his mouth.
With who?
Over that.
Roger.
That's Badell.
Speaking of, Brett in Florida says, I totally agree about the changes that Roger Badell has made. I enjoy overtime in the NFL.
Eric Scalavino came up with that, Patriots.com.
I enjoy overtime in the NFL so much more than college, and changing from sudden death sucks. The only way to really ensure that games matter in the last 2 weeks is to make a 15-week schedule and leave the last 2 weeks open till those are over, but that will never happen. Also, I think that Kendall Graham and Morgan will be gone by 22, and I don't like Bryant. If that's the case, do you think they'll trade up and get
down.
One or maybe trade down to get another second or third rounder and then trade a second for Haynesworth? If this team is trying to win now, then I would rather have Haynesworth than any of those players listed. By the way, in regards to Tebow, here's the deal. His strengths are emotional leadership, big thighs, and biceps for quarterback and work ethic. The problem is in the draft, he can't be a leader. If you don't play, thighs and biceps don't matter on a QB, and work ethic matters, but only if you can read a defense and make quick and accurate decisions.
He can't, so he won't.
Why do you think he can't make quick decisions?
I don't think he did at Florida.
No?
Let's put it that way.
Well, his first instinct was to run, you know.
Second was to do a pump fake and throw a pass before he got the up and down call.
I love that part of the Gruden thing, too, on that jump
never
pass.
Never got called for traveling, never. Either.
He had that jump pass, and one of them was incomplete, and the receiver clearly got hauled down. It was a penalty. But all Gruden wanted to talk about was what he was thinking and the throw and the jump pass and this and that. And all Tebow wanted to talk about was, well, you got held. I had
to do something.
Well, I argue with the ref.
And he said, what'd you say to him? God bless you or something? It made me chuckle a little bit.
That did make
it's like what I used to say to you on the show.
Yeah.
Jeff, you steal
everything from somewhere.
Jeff from Carrollton, Texas. It's the last show before the draft, so let's play a game.
Okay.
Percent chance the Patriots trade up to draft Dez Bryant, Rolando McClain, Sergio Kindle, or C.J. Spiller?
Less than 10%.
Yeah.
I agree, and only for Kindle.
Percent that they trade down to acquire another second-round pick or a third-round pick?
36.
Better than 50%.
Better than 50%.
40%.
36.
Percent to use the draft picks to acquire a veteran tight end, a veteran wide receiver, or a veteran outside linebacker?
50%, exactly.
50%. Percent they use all their second-round picks on players as opposed to
50,
guys that sell hot dogs?
50. Goats.
40%.
No, he was going with the, if you trade him, that's still using the pick theory.
Fred was being stupid Andy over there.
Picks on players. Percent Fred forgets to turn on his microphone on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday?
100%.
Yeah. Because we've now reached new levels. It used to only be a possibility to open a show.
Right now you close the show with your mic off.
Percent Andy jumps off a bridge due to trading out of the first round.
That is not as likely as jumping off the bridge if I hear Maurkice Pouncey, a backup.
And luckily we have a bridge here at Gillette Stadium that you can jump off of.
Percent Paul appears.
Trouble is, I'd only get hurt. I wouldn't die.
Percent Paul appears on another radio show to talk about the draft.
100%. Before our show, though.
Percent Eric declares the dynasty over after a draft class that he doesn't approve of.
100%.
It's already been over, so he can't
read. So the dynasty's already ended in Eric's eyes. So.
Yeah. The decade ended, so did the dynasty. So. Peace out.
Deacon Jones is now number four.
So you're not with Teddy Bruschi that they could get back up there?
Not as a dynasty, no.
Why is that?
Because dynasties last 10 years in the NFL. Proven fact.
It's a proven fact.
He's such a moron.
Fred, even when I agree with him, I can't agree with him.
Fred can't even argue with this one because he doesn't think it's a dynasty. He doesn't think dynasties exist.
It's true. Oh, you don't? You don't think dynasties exist?
No.
The Mings?
No, I do, but I don't think that what we saw with the Patriots, you have to be, there can never be a question about a dynasty.
Is there any about this past decade?
I think they were the team of the decade, but that's
which is a dynasty.
No, that's a dynasty.
No,
it is.
No, they're the best team that decade.
What constitutes a dynasty? Doing it over several decades?
No, you have to within the decade. If let's say you're taking that time period,
right?
You have to have won it. I'd say four times, and
so the Cowboys weren't a dynasty.
No. Oh, see, I think the Cowboys were less a dynasty than the Patriots. Yeah. Cowboys happened to win it. Three times, but what were they the last 5 years of the decade?
Right. I think the Steelers were close to a dynasty. I think the 49ers were close.
The 70s?
The 49ers were a dynasty. I mean, what was it, 16 years?
Well, they won it four
years?
Times. The Steelers won it four times. Well, I mean, four times in that span of 10
years.
See,
I don't care. This little decade thing, this is like another NFLism that they just kind of make
up. I think it's really within a regime.
I agree.
Yeah.
Regime.
Like the Chuck Knoll Steelers were a dynasty. The Bill Walsh.
He just said
49ers were a dynasty.
How did you phrase it? You didn't say the Steelers were.
I said they were close to a dynasty.
Yeah. I would say the Patriots were a dynasty in this decade.
But
I understand your point because I think the Patriots were, okay? But I think you could make a logical argument for Indy this decade or for Pittsburgh this decade. And I think if you're a true dynasty, you can't make a logical argument for anybody.
That's right.
So I understand what your point is. Me personally, the Patriots were better than those teams, and I think, you know, I would err on the side of a dynasty. They were always throughout Bill Belichick's tenure, they've been a title contender.
And if not for the last 30 seconds of Super Bowl 42, there would be no argument.
Well, then there would be no argument.
But you can't do that.
No, no, but I'm just saying it's that close.
It's that close. Yes.
It's that close.
Yeah, but you can't take results of games. I mean, they were that close to losing games too, that they won.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden that unravels the whole thing.
Yeah. But I'm saying you went into that game, everybody expected that was the coronating moment.
Right.
That's all the more reason.
Right. So I'm saying it's paper thin.
Yep.
Fred, no dynasty.
No.
Fred,
no dynasty.
Tough grader.
I'm just tough on
just,
that.
Just thank your lucky stars that Fred wasn't a professor at BU. You and I would still be there.
Hall of Famers.
We never would have made it out.
Hall of Famers.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to speak for you.
I don't mean to speak for you.
I wouldn't have made it out.
You know, titles like Hall of Fame and Dynasty.
He's a
just
tough
can't
grader.
Be a question.
He is.
There can be nothing up for debate in my mind.
I like your theory. I think it doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work because not enough people.
Right.
Not enough people adhere to it.
Right. Andy's kind of like.
Andy's lost interest. Yeah, I did run out of gas at
some point.
He took his 5-hour energy at 8 this morning, so he's done.
The Bo Jackson clip is over. He's done.
Well,
he
expended 5 hours worth of energy just on those.
I think he actually climaxed, and now he's like.
I did.
I made the table move. He has to be crude and say a climax.
He's falling asleep.
I was doing it in a sensitive way. I didn't.
Oh, was that what that was?
Yeah.
Believe he had an orgasm.
Who's that? Speaking of which.
Where? Some racing show that there's hot women they keep showing.
Adam in Orlando. Any interaction with Everson Griffin at the combine or thoughts otherwise?
Him.
I've seen quite a few mocks with him going to us at 22. Blah, blah, blah. I know he has physical traits, but I haven't seen a lot of footage on him. Everson Griffin.
That's the problem. He has physical traits.
He doesn't have a lot of
He got
good
benched
footage.
For the special team or 2 years. 3 years ago? 2 years ago? Clay Matthews.
Andy hated him.
Well, that was just because he gave me some attitude, saying he was going to run some ridiculous 40. I said, really?
He said yes.
I said no. He didn't. I was right.
Of course, at his pro day, he did.
Sort of. That's like me saying, you know, my mom says I'm great. Yeah, on your own little course.
Sure, your mom wouldn't even say it.
She loves me.
I didn't say she didn't love you.
Warren from London says,
Eric's mother doesn't love Eric.
There's a Twitter going around from Tom Curran. That says there's a rumor circulating that the Pats will sign wide receiver Torrey Holt today.
Oh,
trying to confirm, clarify, dispel. We'll get back to you. Torrey Holt.
I forgot he was still out there. I thought he had signed with somebody already.
No, that's the SPFWs last week all want him to.
Boy.
I just think it's another in the long line of moves.
Receiving core would have been great.
Sounds great.
I'm not excited.
Sounds
Moss,
great.
Moss, Holt, and Patton? That's a great receiving core in the early 2000s.
And I have
90s.
The utmost respect for Torrey Holt. Terrific career, maybe even a Hall of Fame career. I don't know how the numbers work on stuff like that, but done.
Yeah.
D-U-N, done.
John in South Carolina, Paul, don't feel bad about your son saying you have a hole in your head. My 4-year-old said my hair is running off my head and onto my back.
That's funny because you're right about that. He also asked me why I have hair, like my ears and other places, like my back and stuff.
Was he doing an inspection of you over
other
the weekend?
Places.
You guys playing doctor or something? What's going on?
He always makes it
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it went from, like, this cute little story to, like I need a shower.
Yeah. Like you're a priest or something.
Exactly. That's what I feel like.
that's good, Andy.
Thanks, Fred.
Josh says,
I could have another Coke.
Who is this year's Oliver Hoyt for you guys? He was the linebacker you guys ranked as the highest in 06 that ended up being undrafted and was moved to fullback in the pros.
All right.
When you say you guys, do you mean somebody who's not here
by
anymore?
By the way, could play.
Pretty good
fullback now.
But while I was not one of the Oliver Hoyt guys, that was Andy and someone who shall not be named. No one said that he was the best linebacker in that draft. He was a 7th-round guy.
Somebody might have.
He was a late-round potential pick.
So who am I
and
in love
he went
with
undrafted.
This year? It's Sam Bradford.
Wow, but that's more of my Mendenhall.
I'll tell you a couple of guys.
Who's a Jag I'm in love with?
They're both from Georgia. Two late
Geno Atkins
guys.
And Rennie Curran?
Those would be the guys.
Tom Curran's favorite.
Those would be the guys, Andy. I like them both. And they're both like 6th-round picks, right?
Keon Wilson, South Florida, middle linebacker.
Oh, George Selvey?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Geno Atkins is too good to be in that class. He's ranked to go higher than that. The other guy, I think, is a possibility.
Let's see. Who else here?
Rennie Curran, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? James Starks is kind of mid-round area.
Buffalo.
I'm trying to think.
Of Buffalo, that is.
I like a lot of guys.
Okay. Cedric in Chicago has a couple questions.
Keon Wilson would be the
entertainer.
Guy.
Paul, I was surprised that you did not slap Mike Reese in the face when he suggested Marquise Pouncey at number 22 on Patriots All Access, because you made sense with your picks, but Reese was off. My other question is regarding something that Reese also said, that he won't be surprised that the Bills trade a second this year for a first next year. Why? I'm tired of that. Why can't we pick our players? Oh, not the Bills, Bill.
Right.
Why can't we pick our players in this draft for Fred's sake? Go PFW, you guys are the best.
For Fred's sake.
3-1s next year, huh?
Yeah, that, you know, Mike threw that out there, and I would agree. At some point, don't you just make your picks? What's the sense of having all those multiple picks if you don't use them?
Yeah, kicking the can
and,
down the road.
You know, everybody is in agreement.
They have 3-2s, though, Paul.
You know, this is the draft
they
where,
three twos and
you know,
three
after you get beyond 15, right? What
nice
is it,
draft.
15 to 40? You know, there's so much value there. There's all these players that are all
supposedly
graded the same. Why not take four guys, you know, in that relative area and see if he can help your team? I agree. I don't want to trade into next year again. I'm tired of that.
How come all these shows on TV have gotten away from, like, actual analysts? No offense to you, Paul, because you're an actual analyst. But see these commercials
about?
For Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight, and it's like Scott Zolak and Lou, whatever the hell his name is,
well, cause that's
and Michael Hawley. No one actually covers the team. Why are you asking these Jag
the age-old TV hosts? Thing now is to make sure you get an ex-athlete. And
how about you get a guy that actually covers the team, is in the locker room, talks to the players, watches the games?
I know, but that's the way you have to do it.
Somebody's
now.
Not in on that show making money.
You need to have an ex-athlete because somehow that's more credibility.
Nah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I happen to think that both of those guys do a pretty good job, Zolak and Maloney.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
I don't think that you need to have an ex-athlete. Look, I think Bruschi's as good as anybody I've seen. Just in case you're listening.
People should be the guys that are in the locker room every day, hearing the players talk every day, talking to Bill every day, going to the games every game, not just showing up every couple days to see what's going on. People that go to all the training camp practices, or most of them. Didn't want to exclude myself from the group.
Marty from Belfast, Northern Ireland. First, a thank you for reading my email a couple weeks ago, and just to correct a slight confusion about my use of the term dull with regard to the show. I love the job you guys do, and perhaps I should have said that Paul and Eric's show was slightly dull compared to the normal excellent entertainment provided.
Normally we're the bomb. Get it, the guy.
Anyway.
That's true, though. And Andy always says that. Whenever anybody's missing, the show's dull.
Are car bombs from Northern Ireland? Not the actual car bombs, the drinks.
Oh, God.
When you drop the thing into the... Is that
a Boilermaker.
I've always heard car bomb.
Maybe, but here we call it.
So do they come from Northern Ireland?
I've never heard car bomb, but I have heard bomb. Sake bombs.
Bailey's Irish whiskey.
Yeah, Irish car bomb.
Yeah.
So are those from Northern or Southern? Because Northern ones are the ones that bomb, right? Can you turn that off?
I had a couple of those on my honeymoon, man. I think I'm still hungover.
And did you see the new iPhone, Fred? Leaked on the internet?
Yeah, I heard that.
What happened?
Going to get one?
No.
Will we be available on the new iPhone? Oh, live listeners were huge last week. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Evidently, he had another five-hour energy drink.
Well, I do have to mention, though, thank you, that the iPhone now, if you have the app,
there's
you
an app
can
for
listen
that.
To us live as
sweet.
We speak right now.
Yes, Janice showed that to me last week.
Yeah.
And I was screaming as she was playing it.
You always
I'm like,
are.
Wow, why am I screaming?
You always argue with people that don't exist.
So if you've got the iPhone app, you can listen
and you always
to the
talk
show
fast
live.
To them.
And obviously that goes for this weekend when we'll do three draft shows. Friday night we'll be on from 9 to 11.
Thursday night, Fred.
Thursday night.
We're going to take the first round off.
Thursday night we'll be on from 9 to 11. Friday night, what time?
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
And then 2 to 4
Saturday
on Saturday.
Saturday night, 2 to 4.
What's when, afternoon. Does, it, when afternoon. Does it end on Saturday?
4? Not soon enough.
Whenever.
No, but it's...
When the last team makes the last pick.
Starts at 10.
My God.
Well, if the Patriots are on the clock and David Givens is available, they may pass for four or five picks before they take him.
What was that term you used earlier? I'm getting stabbed with a dull knife in my forehead.
How's the audio quality?
What is the NFL estimating the
know.
End of Saturday?
When does it start? 10 a.m.?
Yes. Anybody know?
When it starts,
4, 5, 6, or 7,
6
four
o'clock,
rounds.
6 o'clock, I'm saying.
Okay.
Are you saying or is the NFL saying?
I'm saying.
No, because
I want the NFL to say.
I don't know
I was
what
wondering
the NFL
if I was
going
to be able
doing.
To make my son's baseball game, but I'm not.
So anyway,
well,
Marty.
You could just leave us in the lurch, but that's okay.
Marty would like to get our opinion on Myron Roll. I really like this
hey,
kid.
Freddie, you like
I
this.
Wanted to let you bring it up.
Will's at Jedi training
has
camp
all,
today.
Has what?
I told you he would like it.
We'll show another little boy's his lightsaber.
Will went to Jedi training camp today.
Really? Yes. That sounds fun.
Yeah. But here's the disturbing part. Now, Will, in my defense
here. That was the disturbing
part.
Whoa, there's more that's disturbing?
Oh, no, there's a lot disturbing. Will is five. Okay.
Yeah.
To me, there's nothing wrong with that. Andy, you know, he's a little bit odd, as you all know.
You just realized that.
But
in Andy's eyes, that makes him gay.
They have these things, and
no,
I don't know.
No, not really gay, just dorky.
I don't know if they're separate or whatever, but it's ages 5 to 12. Let me tell you something.
That's a big disparity in age.
If Will is over the age of 6 and still interested in going to Jedi training camp, I will commit suicide. If my 12-year-old is interested in going to Jedi training camp, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll already be dead for 6 years, but something bad will have to happen.
That would be Paul's luck, too. His son doesn't want to get interested in any sports, but he wants to go to Jedi camp at age 12.
Oh, no.
So when I majored,
Wait a minute, let me stay clearly here. Let me stay clearly here. He's also playing flag football, t-ball, and soccer. And I know soccer
because
makes
his father's
him
making him.
See, sports isn't, I mean, it doesn't have to be sports. Eric, you were into art. That's legit. You draw things. You're trying to do stuff. But what is the end game of Jedi?
It's fun for a five-year-old. Please, the end game is having fun, idiot.
What if it's real?
Wait, so it's fun it's at real? Five, the but force? Six, it's cut ties.
No,
difference? At you like cut ties?
You don't think there's a difference between
I'm
12
the idiot, but he has a distinct... You don't turned think, six today, son. Minute. Put away the lightsaber.
You don't think... Wait a minute. This guy. Let me think back. You might not have been involved in this, but Eric, you probably were, and Fred, you were. Do you remember Dungeons & Dragons?
No.
Yes.
Well, yes, but no, I wasn't involved with it.
Well, when I was in elementary school, a lot of kids in my class were into Dungeons & Dragons. This was like maybe 10, 11.
I think those same people are into World of Warcraft
I never had any interest in it at all. Okay? I would say that probably like 15 kids when I was in like the fifth grade were like, they did it every free moment they could. Lunch, recess, all this crap. That's all they did. By the time I got to like ninth grade, there was still like 3 or 4 of them that did it. You didn't think that was weird? You didn't think as you got a little bit older
Dungeons
that there's something wrong with that?
Dungeons & Dragons was a big college thing.
That, to me, is
disturbing.
Huge.
In fact,
I played once
in college.
Hey, boss.
And they got
you're
mad
a loser.
They got mad at me because I wasn't adhering to the rules. I said, boss, I thought there weren't any rules. I thought that was the whole thing. So I'm
just saying, I think that,
was a big college thing.
Some things are okay when
some
you're little that aren't
maybe.
Really okay, you know, 5 years later.
Yeah, but you gave him 1 year. Isn't he 5 now? You said
I
if he's still doing it,
6. I said 5 to 12.
Yeah, but you said at 6 you'll commit suicide. And then at 12 something really bad would happen.
After 6.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's got 2 years.
When he starts
that year 3 jump out of Jedi Academy.
When he starts
he's such a loser.
When he starts using the force on you to give him money to go out, then you'll know when it's worth it.
When he says
I'll just look at him and say, you don't need money.
He says, Dad, I'm not coming back at 10 o'clock.
Right, right.
I just tell him you don't need money.
That's what Fred was doing in college. Loser. Anyway, opinion on my
Dungeons
role,
and Dragons
Marty. I really like this kid. He has all the smarts, pretty athletic, girls. And seems to be a genuine nice guy. While safety isn't a huge need for the Patriots, Myron is projected anywhere from the 4th to the 7th round. Do you think it might be a good idea to give him a shot?
Sure. I'm all for it. He's not going to be a problem.
As early as the 4th round?
He's pretty big.
They don't need a safety.
I think he could be that hybrid Tank Williams guy. He's got that kind of size.
Who
the
can actually play?
He's a little questionable. Tank Williams could play before he blew out his knee 17 times.
It's only 15.
But I think the smarts thing, it's all funny, but it's so overrated. It's two different things.
Right.
I have no idea if he's a smart football player.
Right, that's my point.
As funny as that sounds.
Right.
They're not related in any way. I mean, I guess
I would take him on my team.
Probably
I would, too. I would take him on my team. I think he's obviously athletic
enough. Is Terrence
Wheatley
dumb?
Terrence
Wheatley seems like one of the smarter book people we've ever come across.
Absolutely.
And how much has he played?
Right.
But it doesn't automatically mean you're going to slide right in.
I think with Myron Rowley, clearly had a level of ability that was high enough to get him to Florida
State.
It's not like he's a Rhodes Scholar out of, you know,
so
Northwestern.
So PK Sam.
Or Duke. And, you know, it was a lower level. And
it's just this whole smarts and leadership. He would really help. Well, first of all, he's not going to be a leader because he's going to be a 5th-round Jag safety.
And he's going to be a rookie, first of all.
He may be dumb as dirt on the football field.
I
doubt it. But
I would take him. I just don't think they need a safety.
Yeah.
I think that's one of
the
few spots.
The leadership thing's not going to happen day one.
Right. I think they could
get
really better.
We really got Myron Roll and Tim Tebow to rejuvenate our leadership?
I think they could get better at safety, but I think they have reasonable depth there. I think if you had a chance to get a guy like Eric Berry.
Right. You get rid of
different.
Merriweather and you get Sanders and Berry, you're fine.
Exactly. I'd be on.
Actually,
I'd be with
James
you.
Sanders would be phenomenal next to a playmaker like Eric Berry.
Okay, so Adalys Thomas, thank you.
Marty says, I watch the NFL Network a lot as it's
Adalys
a good
Thomas
source.
Was great next to Ray Lewis, too. Sorry.
<Thank you. laughs>
And I saw Dallas Thomas was a bad tackler. James Sanders, one of the best tacklers around.
You done?
I'll start.
I watch the NFL Network a lot, as it's a good source for info for us with limited TV coverage in the UK. So I wanted to see if you guys would be a quick game, would be up for a quick game where you rate a few NFL Network hosts, analysts, and throw an opinion in or two.
Andy Hart's
Would be interesting to hear what you guys have to say about some of these characters and see if it matches my own. For example, Bucky Brooks, a clown. It's always mentioned that he was an NFL scout for 7 years or something. Clearly, if he knew what he was talking about, he would still be an NFL scout.
Clown.
Idiot.
Everybody thinks that. Mike Mayock?
Overrated.
Egotistical and overrated.
I think he's good, but he is overrated.
Too much reliance on his own notes.
He overrates himself.
I think.
Oh, he's, God, yeah. I think he's considered to be like the be-all, end-all.
Did you see his latest quote? Well, I've had a number of offers to join front offices, but blah, blah.
Nothing that's really fit.
Why don't you just tell everybody? Everybody loves you, Mike.
Charlie Casserly.
I like Charlie Casserly.
Solid. He's all right.
You know,
they're all pompous. They're all like Eric.
His Bill hatred aside, I think that generally he's pretty good.
Mike Lombardi.
I like him.
Good. I think he does a good job.
Brian Baldinger.
Never been overly
impressed. Not as high on him, no.
Yeah. Careful, he's an internal guy.
Jason LaConfora.
House organ mouthpiece.
Unimpressed. I think the guy that he took the job from was far better at that same job.
And much fatter than he looks on TV when you see him in person. Yeah. And he has a tie that barely reaches his chest.
That's really
funny.
It's
the shortest tie ever.
Because I never saw anybody who looks fatter in person than on TV.
I think he is significantly fatter than you.
My, aren't we catty today?
He has. That's the second time today he's given me the most backhanded compliment. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Rich Eisen?
Just
blah.
He's a puppet.
Yeah. He's
and a funny puppet.
Finally, Jamie Dukes.
Well, that's Paul's guy. Thanks, big guy.
I think Jamie Dukes is better than he's given credit for, but not.
The guy who needed gastric bypass called Paul Big Guy.
Remember,
it's funny because he's fat.
Paul has to be careful because all these people are potentially people he'll be working with.
Well, now Andy has to keep that in mind, too, as he's trying to Wally Pitt me.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW.
Wait. That's the it?
Yeah, that's the it. That's going to be it for this edition.
Again, 2 minutes early.
No. He went right to 12.
Right to 2.
Can we do another hour?
No. We have the schedule coming out at 7 o'clock
at
Patriots.com. We'll all want to be on the site for that announcement tonight. Very exciting. Of course,
Paul's going to blog about it.
We will be on 9
What's
to 11.
Now?
But, of course, Patriots.com will have content from now until forever. So keep logged on.
Job security.
We'll see you on Thursday.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.